Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Yo, welcome to another episode of The Nerd Off, the premium nerd podcast for nerdery and nerd culture and nerd things on the Blackout Test Premium Network. I'm your host, Rod, of course. I am joined by a neo-nerd and nerd in the closet, Karen.
How y'all doing?
Great, great. Glad you could join us again. Also, another person that's been on the show almost, I want to say second most. He's got to have been on here the second most times of any guest. Kind of an unofficial co-host. Plus, he always knows shit way more than I do.
Right.
Sterling, what's going on?
What is happening, y'all?
Good, good, man. Sounding good on the new mic, dog.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We also have, oh wait, and I forgot to mention, host of Gaming and Then Some podcast. Husband of the Slacker Society podcast, you know.
Gotta get the husband of the whole podcast.
Gotta get them credits. Yep. Official husband of the Slacker Society podcast.
Yeah.
Only one of them got a husband, right?
Yes.
Yep.
He's the official husband. There you go.
That works for me.
We also have someone who's been on the show, I'd say maybe fifth to sixth most. Somewhere around there.
She's climbing up the ladder.
I think right below Aaron Rand Freeman. But it's Najee LaRie, a.k.a. Blazing Bitch, on Twitter and online. Co-host of We Nerd Hard and various other Twitter projects. What's going on, Najee?
I feel pretty good that I'm almost bronze, like fourth or fifth. Like, I'm so close to the podium.
Well,
I just actually came back from the Fortress of Solitude in Newark, and I got comic books, and I feel good. I'm very happy.
What is the Fortress of what is the Fortress of Solitude in New York? Is that like a
comic book store?
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's dope, man. What books did you pick up, by the way?
Storm number one.
Mm.
I got
yes,
that.
Yes, Auntie.
I got that.
Red Sonja. I got two Red Sonjas.
I haven't read Red Sonja. I see it all the time, but is it good? Should I start checking it out?
Gail Simone, I really like her run, and I really like what she's done with the character, and I'm very happy that I'm buying them and not reading scans online. And my brother picked up this Teen Genesis. So it's been a while since I've been, like, knee-deep in trades, so I feel pretty good.
Oh, that's what's up, man. I guess we'll start this the way that we always do, guys. All right. It's very simple here at the Blackout Tips, Nerd Off. We go around the room. We talk about what we've been playing, what we've been watching, and lately, what we've been reading. Cause, sometimes there's, interesting comic books and things like that, we read. Keep it nerd related, obviously. If you've been reading Fifty Shades of Grey, do I really need to know that? No, I don't need to know that. let's go around. Karen, what have you been playing? What have you been watching? What have you been reading?
I've been playing a lot more of Child of Light. I really, really enjoyed that game. I heard everybody talking about it, about how fun it was, and I've been sitting back, and I watched Roger play. And it looked complex, but I was like, I don't know if we want to play it or not. And one thing that's cool about the Xbox One that you can't do on the other systems is that I can just go in under you and be like, look, change it to me. And then I get my credits on my account.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been playing Child of Light. And once you start flying, that's the coolest shit ever. I was just flying around till it was like, you can't go no further. I forgot about that I was supposed to be on the mission and all kinds of bullshit. Me and the little, I don't know what you call it, flicker light thing.
Yeah, niggas, I think it's the name or some shit like that.
Yeah, at the very beginning, me and him were just floating around. We had no destination. Time didn't even matter. We were just going around seeing the things that I couldn't get to, because when you first start the game, you can't fly. So you see all this shit up high, you be like, well, dog, I can't get to that. And then you be looking around, you be like, I can't push nothing, you know, because they have like little puzzles that you can kind of solve to get shit to open up. And I was like, why can't I get there? Then I remember Roger was flying. I was like, shit, I must not can fly yet. And then when I started flying, I was like, nigga, I can fly. So I was just flying around doing pointless shit. And I just died, like, right before we came on, because I got to, like, some kind of giant that was like, yo ass shall not pass. I was like, oh, we gonna fight. And I was like, oh, I don't think I'm quite strong enough. So I think I'm gonna go do some other shit and get stronger before I fuck with him again.
Well, you'd be surprised how strong you are. Like, that game had an excellent sense of balance. Mm-hmm. And they made it challenging without making it difficult. Like, I think I might have died once. And, like, I mean, actually died. Like,
yeah.
Start over, you know, like, go to the checkpoint and restart. I lived most of the game because, you know, you just make sure you fight everything on the way. You level up and learn the system so that you can, you know, figure out, like, who's, especially with the magic, like, who is the most immune or most vulnerable to certain spells and certain, you know, like, okay, I'm going to add fire to my sword.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And they have like a cool little gem system where it's very simple. You can combine gems and make it like able to have effects on your sword. So like there's certain gems where it's like now fire effect will be on your sword or lightning effect will be on your sword. And it does lightning damage whenever you hit a water creature, you know, stuff like that. That's
okay.
Very simple, extremely simple, but also kind of complex, man. Like, it was just a beautiful game, and I've had one of the most fun times I've had. Maybe the most fun I've had on the next gen system, even though it's not a next gen exclusive game.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Let me ask you: Do you guys ever play it together?
No, where one of us could be Ignatius and one of us could be her.
Yeah.
Nah, I haven't yet. Nah. But I mean,
want to see what that's like, yo.
Yeah, it seems like. Like, I mean, I was able to do it with the other little stick on the controller, so.
Yeah, definitely. I'm assuming definitely it's the same. Like the battles thing. And shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But man. Yeah, using him to, like, slow down people is essential. It's just such a good, like, that little racing mechanic of how you fight and how much time it takes and stuff. Really cool. What else, Karen? Anything else you want to
play? I've been playing that Peggle game, Pobble, whatever that little game
Peggle
is.
Peggle 2.
That game's been fun. That game is really up my speed. It's simple yet complex. It's simple because, like, you shoot these balls out, and they kind of bounce, and as they bounce and touch other balls, the balls, like, disappear. But it's complex because some of them puzzles is hard as fuck, because the object of the game is to, you have balls of all colors, and certain balls do certain things, but the object of the game is to get rid of all, like, the orange balls. But they have them, like, scattered all across. They be in obscure places. You have to bounce shit off the wall. You know, sometimes your goal is to get rid of all of them. And, like, it's simple yet complex. And I've been really, really having a good time playing that.
Hmm. Yeah, I enjoy Peggle also. And I like the different power-ups with different people. Like, whoever you choose. It reminds me a lot of that game we used to play, Bust a Move.
Yes, that's what it reminded me of. I don't know if I've never... Can you play two people or that's a one-person game?
Well, that's the problem. We play two people, remember, but it's... One person takes a turn, then the next person takes a turn.
Yeah,
one person takes a turn.
Okay. It's not a split screen where it's more of a competition.
Right.
Yeah.
I would prefer that, and I think they dropped the ball there.
I do, too.
Sometimes kind of split screen is if you go fully online. Okay. Like, to see everybody else's game in your corner.
Okay. Yeah, they need to make that a... they really need to make that a thing. I guess a lot of people are... a lot of game designers are forgetting about it, but... The in-home multiplayer experience should also be good. It seems like it would be a really quick fix.
Right,
if they already
everybody
do
ain't
it.
By themselves.
Well, if they already do it for online, it seems like it would be a really quick fix to just allow you to do that at home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Marriages.
Yeah, it saves marriages is what it does.
Or end your marriage, depending on your marriage.
Well, if it's Bust a Move 2, it can end your marriage. Yes.
Hey, Portals 2 co-op almost got us.
Yeah.
Super rough.
I never really played Portal 2, but yeah, Bust a Move, yeah, that caused division in the household, because that's like me being LeBron on the basketball game. I'm like, yeah, come on out here. You want to play?
Yeah, Dead or Alive almost got us.
Man, yeah, you whip my ass in that one now.
I threw up on my ex when I was playing Left 4 Dead. Because it gave me motion sickness, and I'm like, let's chill. Like, I really don't like the way the split screen is working. Why don't you just play and I just play? He's like, no, we got to do it together. And I got motion sickness, and I puked on him.
Oh.
Call me back.
Oh yeah, I could. Then he set up so you wouldn't get an Xbox One.
No, that was a different S, but thanks for reminding me about that. I'd be bitter about my Xbox One being canceled. Just twist the knife, why don't you?
Sorry. I'm sorry. All right, what about you? Karen, was that it? That was all your stuff?
No, I've still been reading The Why the Last Man.
How's that going?
It is actually going really, really good. I'm almost finished with book one. I'm about to start book two. Mm-hmm. And the story just keeps getting more interesting and interesting because, you know, and it's funny though because I've gotten to the point in the storyline where they kind of found out who he was, and it's funny though, and I don't know if this like is a movie trope, a comic book trope, or just impossible white man trope. Like, they're walking, trying to be undercover, trying to move him from one part to the other, and he's talking out loud, talking shit to the person that's supposed to be protecting him. And it's a woman, and she's like a Secret Service agent. She's a badass, too. He's talking about, I want to be loud. And she was like, nigga, you gonna get us killed, because you're like the only dude left, and they gonna recognize that this is not a female's voice. It's like, cover your face, keep quiet. Like, we got a mission we trying to accomplish here. And he's like, oh, fuck all that. I was like, god damn, you don't get shot, dude. So I'm reading that and enjoying it. And I'm enjoying that a lot. And I got that Storm. I hadn't started reading the Storm yet.
Okay.
But Roger got me that Storm, and also I'm behind, but I'm slowly getting caught up on The Walking Dead. And what I've been watching, we've been watching that Tenchu, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Tenchu?
Yeah, I told you I tore it up.
Yeah. Tenchu is, well, I'll talk about it when I get to my turn, but yes, it's an off the hook. Sterling, what have you been watching? What have you been playing? What have you been reading?
I ain't been reading shit because eyes can't read good.
Okay.
But watching The Strain, the Guillermo del Toro on FX.
Yeah.
That's my show, and for that particular show, I initially, because I'm such a punk ass, it looked like it was gonna be on some next level horror shit. So when I first seen the preview, shit just shaking and moving and like stuff reaching out, I looked at Roger, nah nigga, I don't think I'll be watching that. But turned out not to be that, and it's actually really good.
Nah, it still scared the shit out of me. Like, I watched it at the wrong moments. I was too inebriated. It was too late at night. I was fucked up in the bed, like, just in the corner. Like, this shit ain't right. Like, we watched both episodes back to back. It's still so good, though. Like, it feels like a really twisted Wolfenstein DLC. Mm. With all the low-key Nazi shit happening in the background. But it's, I really, really like it. And other thing I've seen lately was, besides Dawn of the Planet Apes, was Let's Be Cops. The Jake Johnson, Damon Wayans Jr. flick that's coming out like August 13th.
How was that?
I loved it. It was, if you like their comedy, I like the show New Girl. I just hate the chick that's on it. It's like an episode without her on it. They're just funny as hell the whole time. It's pretty short, like I think an hour 30 or something, and it keeps great pacing the whole time. Like, it was really good.
I was just thinking to myself, like, how the hell did they get that movie? And I forgot they were on New Girl. That's how they got that movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that movie
what I made, really yeah. feel bad for is the other black dude. Because Damon Wayans Jr. was on like the first episode of New Girl. Mm-hmm. And then left for that show Happy Endings. And then came back after Happy Endings got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the other black dude was there from episode two on. And they just ignored that nigga. Like, we doing this movie about being cops. But in the show, the other black dude's becoming a cop. Like, I know that nigga mad somewhere, looking at the TV, just slamming the sandwich.
That last name, dog. Like, his family been around for a while, so they was like, look, we you got that name.
Yep.
What about what you been playing?
Oh, Destiny Beta. I ain't play shit else. I don't remember anything before the Destiny Beta. It don't matter. I really don't have any words. It's everything I wanted Titanfall to actually be. Like, me and my niggas got on there for the first time, like, just, like, the old group of dudes they used to play MLG Halo, Halo 3 with, and we just ran down on that shit, like, all last night for hours on it, and perfectly, like, just back on our Bungie shit. Like, the game is really good. It feels like a mix of, a unfunny Borderlands that looks like Mass Effect, but plays like Halo. Mm. It's just really, really nice. Like, they got, a place there called the Tower, which is effectively the Citadel, and Mass Effect just, the Mass Effect 1 Citadel, the huge one, mm-hmm. but more interactive than it was at 3, where you could just walk around to everybody. There's like maybe like 30, 40 people you can talk to, buy shit, do shit, get bounty boards, buy guns. You got like a little vault so you can switch weapons between characters and shit. And then just, you know, people running around dancing, having parties, kicking soccer balls around, shit like that. You get back off on your ship, go to a planet, go fuck some shit up. Like, it's really well done. Like, Bungie really hit their mark with this game.
Wow. All right. That's what's up, man. Najayla, what have you been playing, reading?
I've also been on Destiny, but I haven't had, like, the full team experience. I've only played it with one other person so far. But I think I use Blasian Bitch as my tag, so I don't think people want to play with me. Oh, well, I'm not popular. But I'm not a first-person shooter person at all, and I've been vocal about being meh about Halo, which I already don't like first-person shooters, so Halo is even, like, less of a big thing to me. But I really like Destiny. I actually think when this goes out of beta and they launch it, I want to pick it up. Like, I actually want to play this.
Wow.
That's which is very shocking to me.
Yeah.
Because other games I've been playing are, I've actually surpassed you, Rod, in Crackdown, according to Raptor. I've played more Crackdown than you, because I'm trying to get all of the achievements. I'm still far, because I still suck at driving, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to do this thing.
That, by the way, kudos to you, because I played the fuck out of some Crackdown. Like, you being above me, hats off, because that's, like, I was living in Crackdown for, like, I was walking around feeling like, why don't I just jump up to the top of the building in real life?
It's weird that you really see, like, I see trucks, and I'm like, God, trucks in my way. And I was like, I really can't kick that
right. Yeah.
And then I look out my window, and I'm like, oh, is there an agility orb over there? And I was like, no, you're not playing a game, and you can't jump across the building to that roof and get it.
Like, if I go play basketball and, like, I make a good move, I expect somebody to be like, nice layup, agent.
Yeah, I love the voice of the agency. Of course, once you, like, max out and become a super agent, then he's the conscience that you don't have to listen to.
Yes.
Because he's like, oh, don't kill those. Peacekeepers are on your side. But it's like, there's no consequences. Right. I've maxed out everything. I can mow people down indiscriminately, and there are no consequences.
Yeah, you're just walking around like Stallone, like, I am the law!
Exactly. What else have I been playing? Dragon's Dogma, which is another old game.
How is it? I never got to play that one, and I thought it looked good.
It's a Capcom role-playing game, and it had a very interesting multiplayer system where you make your sidekick or a pawn, and then that pawn goes into their realm, and your friends can then play with your pawn and level that person's up. And once they level your pawn up, they can give him better armor or, you know, level up, she gets another spell. And then when you go to an inn and sleep and you wake back up, your pawn comes back with all these extra powers and new things, and they learn about different enemies as they journey with other people. It's really interesting multiplayer experience. The game is hard as hell because there's no zones. So you walk to something that's right next to, like, a starter city, but everything's, like, level 103 and you're, like, level 18 and they just kill the shit out of you. Wow. No warning, because it's supposed to be immersive. But I've been having fun.
Is there any way to know in the game, like, how to avoid the super-duper, like, monsters?
Right.
You have to play with your pawn, and then the pawn will be like, oh, we shouldn't be here, because they've been there before and they know it's too high level for you. So if nobody uses your pawn, then you're just blind and you're just going to die a billion times.
Ah, that makes sense. Anything you've been reading or watching on TV?
I've also been playing Battle Block Theater.
Oh, yeah. I saw that was the game for its gold this week. Oh,
yeah. Game for gold. Get it. I've been playing DuckTales Remastered. I've been, like, on nostalgia for, like, really well-built platformers. What have I been reading? I actually wanted to get the Why the Last Man. They have the collector's edition that's hardbound, but I can't find it. And I watched all of Hemlock Grove, so nobody else would have to.
Yeah, how is it? How is it? Is the because I heard that like
is terrible. It's like Twilight for bros, but it's like gross Twilight, but then still tweenish. So nobody goes home happy. Like if you're like a Eli Roth Death Hound and you just want to see gore, you're gonna be annoyed by all of the non-relationships that are happening in the series. And there's two pretty boys that are like the main guys who are constantly flirting with each other, but they're supposed to be heterosexual. And it's nothing works. It's just a series. It's the most frustrating type of bad because you have, well, the first season, it looked good for three episodes because they had Eli Roth directing the first three episodes, or the first two episodes, and then it just degrades into a Lifetime movie that's also kind of like a B-horror movie, but the acting is like amateur porn. Like, nobody's trying to get famous in this series, and just the most bizarre shit happens with no payoff. None whatsoever. And I am so shocked that there was a season two, and then they made a season two. So my brother, I was telling him about Hemlock Grove, and he didn't believe me how horrible it was. So I ended up watching all of season one, and then because season two was there and I hate myself, I watched all of season two, and it was like double no payoff.
Damn, oh. So season two is bad too? Damn.
Two is exponentially worse than season one.
How is that possible?
Yeah, because I heard nothing good about season one. Like, only thing I've ever heard about Hemlock Grove is it was terrible, don't watch it. And then season two came out, and I saw a few people going, oh, you know what, maybe I'll watch, you know, season two. And
they
then,
learned
boom.
Nothing. They learned nothing at all. And season one at least had like the super bizarre stuff happen. Mm-hmm. Season two is bad because it's boring. Nothing pays off. It has about two episodes worth of plot for 10 episodes. Mm. They told Jean Grey to just stop it with that terrible accent, which was a godsend because she sounded ridiculous. But she's dead. And all the Battlestar Galactica people are gone.
Mm.
So...
Nothing about this sounds good.
Mm-mm.
Nothing about this sounds interesting at all. All right, and are you watching anything on TV?
Attack on Titan. Oh, I found an anime that is about a kid goofing off on his desk at school. He's just the king of wasting time. That's the premise of the anime, and the girl that sits next to him is like studious, and she keeps being pulled into his world of trying to distract himself at school, but he does like these elaborate things where he has like a little robot family that's action figures, and he's goofing off, but like the robot family, he's like making them do the lesson, and he made a fort with like erasers, and just crazy stuff. It doesn't sound funny, but it was hilarious. It is the best comedy anime that I've ever seen, and it was on Crunchyroll.
What's the name of it?
Yeah, do you know the name of it?
I will have that in a second. I have my wonderful brother here that's going to Google it.
Oh, no problem, because that Attack on Titan, we watched it on Crunchyroll, and they're re-releasing it in English. So if you like anime but you don't have to read the subtitles, they're re-releasing it in English on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, it's coming out. It's already out, and it's going like episodically.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix in English, too?
I don't think it's in English, though. I think Cartoon Network.
I also watched the original anime that they have on Netflix about the kid in the space camp. What's it called? I never remember the names of anime.
I'm sure you'll get it in a second, but
Knights of Cydonia.
Wait, what was it?
Knights of Cydonia. Okay. It's an original anime that was released by Netflix.
Is it dubbed or subbed, or do you know?
It's in Japanese. I'm pretty sure it's in Japanese.
Yeah, like I'm one of those people that everybody hates because I prefer dubbed over subtitle.
I do too.
So I'm not a purist like a lot of people, but
mm-hmm. I think you have to be a purist. It's just as long as the voice acting is good. Like,
right.
I love Korean movies and I watch a lot of them, I just can't watch them in English because I don't know why they just don't invest in good, like, voice actors. Like, I can't watch Old Boy in English because it's terrible. The voice actor, it's like they paid him $2 and a sandwich.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't bring his A game.
I don't think I would ever try it with live.
I mean, watched the Old Boy remake. Yeah. Spike Lee hates women. And that remake really cemented.
No, you know what? I got to push back on that. Spike Lee hates everybody with eyes. That movie is fucking terrible.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was so, like, especially because I love Park Chan-wook so much. I even wanted to watch the movie that he made on his iPhone. And just Old Boy, just like Spike Lee. He's made beautiful movies.
Yeah.
Well, no, he can do better. He just didn't want to.
Part of the problem is, and this is why they shouldn't have remade it, and I'll say this to my grave, but they have to stop trying to remake some of these foreign movies because different audiences have different sensibilities.
Right.
And the American sensibilities do not allow for the kind of shit that is in some of these movies.
Nope.
Like, there's a scene in Old Boy where he tries to rape his daughter earlier in the movie. And then she's like, no, but it's like a no, like, not now. Like you can get this, but you need to calm down and you can get some of this later. American audience ain't ready for that shit. They will, man, so many think pieces. Spike Lee will be written about as a fucking terrible person. Like,
but the thing is, I was less offended by that.
Mm-hmm.
In the original than I was how he dealt with that character in his remake, because she wasn't a full-fledged character.
Right.
She didn't really have anything to do.
Yep. And to me, that's one of the problems of American cinema, though, is those are the roles that we give women in movies like that.
Right.
It's like, well, she's a person that gets kidnapped, or she's a person that, you know, wants to stop him from fighting.
Helpless.
Or, yeah, like she's the love of his life and he has to protect her. There's never this, like, she's in it with him. She has some stakes on the line. There's no dynamic, there's no dimensions to the character. So then you end up, oh God, that movie made me so mad. Oh, sorry.
I found out the anime that's the master of killing time. It's Tonari no Sekikon.
All right, oh, okay. Yeah, you're going to have to spell that for everybody.
For me too.
Yeah, you can just Google the Master of Killing Time and you'll find it.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Okay, that and something else I wanted to say. When it comes to anime, Najayla, what I've realized is that good quality animes will invest good English translation. And when they do, it is excellent. When they don't, it is bad.
Well, some companies are better at it than others.
Right.
You know, but... The more mainstream things typically get a really good dub.
Like Naruto? Like,
well, yeah, for me personally, man, like when I got the Japanese only version of Naruto, I kind of was like, damn.
I didn't like it.
I like the American voices and I like the actors.
See,
and
I never listened to the American voices because when I was watching Naruto, my brother was getting it as it was airing in Japan.
Mm.
So half of it didn't even have subtitles. I just had to, like, rely on my brother's Japanese, which is not so great.
Oh.
So I'm just used to hearing those voices and, like, really listening to the way they're, like, all their, like, tones and how they're, like, speaking to it. So I got really invested in that cast.
Mm.
So then trying to watch the dub version, I didn't think they were bad. It was just so different that I was like, I'd rather watch it subtitled with Japanese voices. Yeah. I think it's whatever you...
get used to or whatever.
I prefer the English version of Naruto because we started watching it and I was looking like, oh no, thank you, I will just wait 5 years for the English version.
Yeah, that Naruto voice is just so good. I don't know if it's a woman who does it or a man, but that dub voice is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in the other version he doesn't talk like that at all, so it was like, oh, I guess I'm out. But yeah, I've it's funny though because I can't think of too many bad dubs that are professionally done. I've seen the bad, like somebody bootlegged it and put some, you know, it like the, I don't know if y'all were around when they used to have the old Dragon Ball Z dubs that people did manually and they would put cussing, they'd be like, yeah, motherfuckers, what are you like, what?
Goku would never cuss. Gohan would never cuss.
I mean, I think they did cuss. I think that was... Up,
but I also love watching the old Saban episodes that were English dubbed, because they're A, terribly dubbed, and B, terribly edited.
Yeah.
So they would have a scene, and they would cut it so somebody's responding to something that's never happened.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't pay enough attention. So it'll be like, oh, I feel bad for the mountain lion. That's the line that is said with no context. He's smiling, and you're just like, what? And there's so many. It was like magically bad. The old Saban edits of Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z was my shit, man. That was one of my first anime loves. And like all first loves, in hindsight, it's embarrassing that you ever liked it. But
yeah, I'm proud.
No, I used to go watch, in college, we used to go watch anime, watch, Dragon Ball Z on, I think it was called Toonami, and it was at midnight.
Yep.
Yeah.
We used to go to my boys, they were football players, they were twins. We would go to their room, and it would be like 12 niggas sitting on two twin beds, watching Dragon Ball Z like it was a live football sporting event. Every night. Because
you couldn't miss it. You couldn't record nothing back then.
Man, that was my shit, man. We'd be talking in the cafeteria like, oh, but did you see when Kakarot was like, oh, I'm about to do the spirit bombs. Like, oh, yeah, dog. He's hit him with that Kamehameha. Like, we used to have such a good time.
Oh, shit, man. Did you see the new movie they came out with?
I heard it's, I saw a trailer for it. I didn't watch it. It's out already?
Yeah, it's been out for like a year. It's actually coming to like some theaters.
Oh, yeah, that's what I saw.
Yeah, singing karaoke.
That damn Battle of Gods, yo, like, it reaffirms that Goku ain't shit, but it's a great movie. I wish they would actually remake all of Dragon Ball. Like, keep the same exact thing happening, just remaster it, because the 2014 animation is just so much more crisp that the fights look 10 times better.
Now, why do you say Goku ain't shit?
That nigga is the worst father ever. Like, he shit at everybody. Like,
and an abusive husband, because he just abandons his wife for decades at a time.
I'm not going to, like, you see how he, like, abandons her, right? Like, yeah. I'm not going to give anything away about Battle of Gods. Battle of Gods takes the regular time span from the end of Dragon Ball Z when, like, Oob, like, is the controller of the universe and shit.
Uh-huh.
Like, universe. Until now. And then this nigga comes back, watches his whole crew get fucked up. Like, Vegeta gets trashed by the new dude. Everybody. Goku just walks through these niggas like he's Moses going through the Red Sea, doesn't acknowledge his son or his wife he's seen in 20 years, and just goes to fuck the nigga up. And then afterwards, he's like, yeah, I've been here for like a week. I just want to see what y'all can do. He was just on Earth for a week and ignored his whole family he hasn't seen in 20 years.
Man, he got you know, the worst part is like he ain't never got a job. Like, how you pay bills, dog?
He died several times. You're right. He is the worst daddy ever.
Yeah, he faked his death. You know what? I would not be surprised if there are several child support cases pending against him.
Right.
That's why I fuck with Piccolo, yo. Piccolo came through like the uncle that you just knew was your daddy uncle. Like, he was always there for Gohan, held it down.
Yep.
And Vegeta is literally evil. Didn't walk out on his kid.
Right, yeah. Evil, but not that kind of evil. Knows to take care of his personal responsibilities. Nope. Man, that's a good point, man.
Yeah, I fuck with Dragon Ball Z. I hated Dragon Ball DTZ, whatever that other one is. That was some bullshit.
It doesn't exist to me. It's not canon as far as I'm concerned. And I ignore everything.
That was the thing. Like, they reached a breaking point with Dragon Ball Z, where the only thing they could think of was refighting all the people they already beat, but making it only take 2 episodes to beat them instead of 27. And it wasn't as good.
It was terrible. I checked out after that.
I never understood that either, because, like, it would really take Goku 37 episodes to beat Frieza.
Right.
Then Frieza shows up next season, and it takes him 20 minutes. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Well, because he got stronger.
Right, but like, it's like if I played the hardest basketball game of my life against a team, and then a week later they came and I blew them out by 50. Like, no one gets that much better that quick. Like, maybe he was on steroids. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying, steroids.
Yeah.
On that good stuff.
But, all right, so, as far as I'm concerned, Karen mentioned it earlier. I'll start with what I've been watching. Tenchu.
Mm-hmm.
I got what is it called?
What'd you say, Karen? You got Hulu. We got Hulu.
Yeah, Hulu Plus. I got Hulu Plus the other day, and I was like, let me see what's on here. And I only got Hulu Plus because I was trying to actually see if episodes of Extant was on it, and they weren't. So I was like, fuck.
I'm kind of a little upset about that because I have Hulu Plus too, and I kind of pinned on it to watch network TV because I don't have anything else. My TV is just for my Xbox. So it's not on Netflix, Amazon, or like Crackle or stuff like that. I can't watch it. And I can't find this stupid show, and it makes me angry.
Yeah, I will tell you how to find it in a second. Hey, your mic is giving a little bit of static. I don't know what happened, but yeah, it. But yeah, all right. So here's the thing, right? All right, I got Hulu Plus. I was looking for shit to watch, so I start clicking around, exploring, and I don't know what it is about Hulu Plus, and I hate to be one of those people, but it felt like nothing was on it. Now, I'm not saying nothing's on it. It just felt that way for me. Nothing, like, I wasn't interested in it. And I hate when people say that about stuff because there's always something, right? So I refused to be, to give up. And I continued to click around. And I stumbled onto this thing called Drama Fever or something. And I was like, what is Drama Fever?
What's Drama Fever?
And I went in there because I had never heard of it. And they had a couple, like Japanese or Asian shows, and I was like, okay, cool, you know, I've heard of, like, you know, some of these, like, Asian, Korean, and Japanese dramas, but I never watched them. But then they had one on the front that had a ninja.
Yeah.
And anyone that knows how I feel about ninjas, I'll watch ninjas do anything.
Me too.
I would watch a ninja lawyer show. I'm not joking. Like, I will, in all seriousness too, like, not even on some, like, it's so bad it's good. No, I will enjoy it because ninjas were there. So I decided to click on it, and it's only 8 episodes long for the whole season, and it is by far one of the best things I have ever watched.
It is. It's greatness.
It's all in Japanese. It's so funny, like, laugh out loud funny. I was very surprised it was that funny. The ninja action isn't even, like, great. It's like Power Rangers level ninja action.
Yes, it is. Like, it is Power Rangers.
Yeah, like, but it has, like, heart. And then it's like, the best I can compare it to is Rurouni Kenshin, the series where he had the reverse blade sword as a samurai. Yeah. And it was, like, always a lesson learned. He would never kill the person. They would deserve to die, but then he would, like, hit them upside the head with the other side of the blade and then, like, teach them a lesson about life. And then, like, you know, that would be the end. Well, it's kind of like that, man. Like, the ninja in here, Sana, she can't kill. Like, that's her one rule of, you know, of the show. And she's been displaced through 400 years of time. So, like, she moved from, like, I think it was, like, the 16th century or some shit to, like, the 21st century. And she doesn't know how and all this stuff. And, but, like, she lives with this old lady. What is her name? Mama Chan or what? She lives with this old lady, and the old lady is everything, y'all. She is everything. The old lady also has her son and daughter-in-law living with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she hate that bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, she hate her so bad. Like, it was one episode where she gave her son a book, and the book was How to Divorce from Your Dragon Wife in 7 Days.
Yeah, she keeps calling her a dragon and calling her all kinds of names. She's the worst.
They hate each other so hard. It's so good. And it's amazing because the show's only an hour long. Mm-hmm. But they fit so much into each show, and like, even the little shade parts between the mother and the daughter-in-law, there's a story arc there over the 8 episodes, but it's only like 2 minutes a show, but it's so, like, it develops the character so well. But the thing that's amazing about it to me is every show teaches a lesson, and the lessons are heavy fucking topics.
Right.
You know, oh, hold on, I'm getting an echo from somebody.
Extreme slaves or?
Yeah, what's it? 1, 2, 1, 2.
Child prostitution.
Hey, Najayla, I'm getting an echo on yours. Can you hear me now? 1, 2.
I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Now it's getting a little staticky on your mic again. I don't know what's happening. Let me hang up and call you right back. Stay right there. 1 second. Yeah, I don't know what that was, y'all.
It was Obama.
Yeah. Yeah.
NSA.
It was the NSA trying to find out what we talking about.
Hold the black man down.
Yep. Najayla, you there?
I'm here.
All right. Oh, it's cool. Perfect. It's perfect again. So yeah, one of the things that is really dope, though, the topics that they touch on are so heavy.
Yes, they are.
Child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was trying to force teens into prostitution.
Because, I was kidding about that. Oh God.
Yeah. They tried to turn by taking like pictures of them and embarrassing them, and it's very like PG ish. So like they don't actually like show like the picture that the girl got embarrassed into being a prostitute by was like really one with like her bra on and her like nightie.
Yeah, she was basically fully covered.
Yeah, but they were like, oh, we'll show everybody if you don't become a prostitute for this dude. And she's like, I'll do it, you know, thinking about it. Another one was killing a mistress trying to kill a married man's wife on some like snap shit. What was the other one? Domestic violence.
Yep.
Like, they are heavy. Like, how the fuck could this possibly be funny? How could you possibly make this into, like, a kid's lesson Sunday, like a afternoon special? And they do it every time. I cannot recommend the show more, man. And it's only 8 episodes, so if you fucking hate it, it was 8 episodes of your life. That's it.
Right, and then the main character, which is the mother-in-law. It's funny how they basically got a team together.
Yes.
And they hang out in like the library. Like if you're watching Buffy, you know how Buffy, a lot of scenes in Buffy was shot at the library. It's like they got like a bar, and they do it cross-dressing.
Yeah, the first episode is about homophobia.
Right.
Because the guy whose bar that they all meet in, which is kind of like the library in Buffy, like where for some reason this bar never has clientele, but they always
stay open. Business.
And
like you're watching it like, yeah, okay. But he's, you know, they start off with this guy and it's like clearly a dude in drag, but I couldn't tell if we as an audience were supposed to be like, oh, that's a dude in drag, or if it was really just him playing a female character and it just was like an ongoing joke, like Roger the Alien or something, because they would make constant references to it, but tongue in cheek. But then they had a whole episode about how he had a son, and when his mother found out that he was a crossdresser, she disowned him and wouldn't allow him to be his son's father. And so he had been very sad and was running his business and stuff. But he felt like, hey, I gotta live my life. You know, I can't not be happy and pretend to, you know, I can't go back to in the closet, basically. And they had a whole episode where they like rescued his son. And then like, there's this really like tearful moment where they like reconcile, and the son like had this little thing that he used to like his dad to do when he was a kid that was like, you know, he would like play a character type, you know, like, I'm a monster, I'm gonna get you, or something like that. And so he does it for like his kid, who's now kind of like, you know, 16 or so. And like, it's a real heartfelt moment. And he's like, you'll always be my father. And it's like, oh my God, these people are trying to make me cry.
Yes.
You know? And then there's a whole subplot about,
Ninja fix that.
Say that again, Jay, I'm sorry.
Ninja fix homophobia with ninjutsu.
With ninjutsu! She's fixing all this shit with ninja tactics, showing up, killing, like, not killing, but beating up money laundering, launderers, people that are, like, trying to, like, cheat on their wives, or, you know,
child
like.
Child molesters.
Yeah, there's an episode about using people's insecurity about being poor to make them buy stuff that they don't need.
Right.
Like, all right, I'm getting off of it, but God damn it. I can't recommend
that's
it more.
That's very good.
And while you're on drama fever, you should watch this Korean drama called Secret Garden. It's one of my favorites.
All right.
It's about a stunt woman who gets her body switched with this super rich fop who's a terrible person. And they fall in love. And there's body switching.
Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you this. Little scared of drama fever. Because it feels like this is one of those rabbit holes I fall down.
It's
and
that will steal your life. But
yes.
Right.
Yeah, like I'll be looking at them other titles like, not yet.
Right.
Like, oh, another one, Bad Guy, also about a stunt person. I don't know why there's a lot of Korean dramas about stunt people and rich people that get involved with them. And it's all about like intrigue and suspense about him getting revenge over his parents being murdered.
Huh. Wow, see, this is bad. This is stuff that I don't have time to be learning about this. This is why I was scared to talk about it, but I might have to watch it.
Way too many drama. And the thing is, I watch them and I'm always upset about the same things because there's always like about 10 episodes in, there's a clear answer to everybody's problems, but they just won't do it.
Yeah.
Because it'll be minorly inconvenienced to somebody else, so they're just not going to solve their own problem. So they're miserable for the next 10 episodes.
Yeah, that's one of the greatest things about this Tenchu series. Is everything, like, the smaller plot lines always get wrapped up in the hour.
Mm-hmm.
But then the lingering plot lines, like, the mother and how, like, her daughter is one of these five girls who got abducted when she was, like a kid. And she's been missing for 20-something years. And they're looking for her. And, like, there's a whole, like, other subplot of just... Like, the very serious, like, how do we find this missing girl, if she's alive, and all this stuff. And, like, it'll get really dark. And, and stuff like that. Like, I like the ability to go dark and the ability to have, like, subplots that last for a while. Dramas typically don't do it for me because of exactly what Najayla said. I hate that. Like, why don't you just talk to him? I hate that feeling when I'm watching something. And they never do it, you know, so, but I'm like I said, I might end up watching some more of this Tenchu because it's so goddamn good,
mm-hmm.
man. And I'm watching Dominion, which, I like. I don't know how good it is, but I like it, you know, like, mm-hmm. Can't really defend it if people don't like it. I think the main actor is a little bit annoying, but, I'm a big fan of, the concept. And my man Giles is in it, and that's really all you need to do for me.
He is.
He's also evil as shit.
Evil librarian.
Yeah, he's evil as fuck in this movie. Like, I mean, this series, he killed a little girl. Like,
oh,
yeah, and the little girl was sick in a hospital at the time. Like, this, it was one of those, like, goddamn, man, like. And it wasn't even like some angel of mercy, like, oh, I need to kill this little girl, put out her misery. He was like, you're fucking up my plans, bitch. I was like, God damn. Like, this dude evil as shit. So, I'm a big fan of Dominion, man. I've been enjoying that a lot.
What about
Karen?
That Tyrant show?
Oh, well, it's not really... Tyrant's not really a nerd show.
Oh, my bad.
But it's flawed, but I enjoy it. But, you know, I could also easily see giving it up at some point because... There's only so long you can do the, I really don't know shit about this country, but I'm going to fix their problems before I'm like, yeah, this wouldn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, it's all like, I read somewhere on Wikipedia that there's a war. I know how to solve it. Like, I don't think that's how it works. I've been watching Orphan Black season 2. Just zooming through that on my DVR. I recorded all the episodes. So I've just been watching. I think I'm up to episode 6. Brilliant as always. Tatiana Mosley should have won something. Didn't even get nominated. I don't know how that happens. I don't want to live in a world where that happens. And what I've been reading, here we go. All right, guys. I've been reading this series called Clones. Only a few episodes in, but pretty good. Batman Eternal might be the best read going right now as far as those Bat books. Cause it like involves all the Batman characters in one book and not just following one of them. It'll be like, oh, this episode is more about Batwing. And then this episode is more about Batgirl and Batwoman have a team up. Like, I like that. The Walking Dead, that thing where they moved forward into the future. Brilliant. Brilliant. Saga, that's probably the best book out right now.
That's what everybody keeps saying.
Yeah, it's that good. Say that again to Jayla.
It's so good, and also there's so many like little hidden things in the art that you can just stare at every page and find something new every time.
Yes.
I I've been waiting for the volumes to come out, so I have volumes 1 through 3, and I'm not really picking up the trades, but I don't think I can wait.
Yeah, it's so good, man. I love the way they write. I love the chances they take. Like, they do stuff like an episode, like an issue will come out and it'll be like a really big kind of like weird cliffhanger. But then the next one will like skip forward like 6 months into the future. And then the one after that will be like a year later. But it's just so good. And it's told from the perspective of the little baby in there. Like, it's so good. Another surprisingly sneaky good read, Batman Beyond. Didn't think I'd like it. Thought it might have been a gimmick. Really, it was actually really good.
It's not based off the cartoon, is it?
It is based off that cartoon world, but it's new adventures.
I hated they ended that series.
Yeah, so it's got new adventures and stuff.
How they ended it, I kind of thought that was like, really? Really? But
yeah, oh, the ending where for the cartoon with...
which was in another series.
Yeah.
So yeah. I was like, surprise, we're ending the show that you used to like 2 years ago on this new show.
Yeah, yeah. I did like badass Amanda Waller, though. Even when she was old, she was still the baddest motherfucker
in there. Amanda Waller is what, like, I aspire to be like her every day.
Yeah.
And I hate DC for what they did to her, the New 52. They made her boring. They made her just another, like, run-and-gun action chick.
Yeah.
And I hate them, and I'm never going to forgive Jim Lee.
Oh, wow. Oh.
If you ever see me in handcuffs on the news, probably I've seen Jim Lee in a coffee shop, and I was apprehended crying while I pummeled the pulp that used to be his face, saying, "Why did you take her away?"
Yeah, the jailer's hate is strong, man. You fuck up, it's forever. So,
yeah. Spit on his children.
But yeah, Batman Beyond has been good. Saga, I like this one called Uber. It's a little bit text heavy and it's very like, it's steeped in like World War One stuff. Like you gotta kind of know a little bit about history. But, it's a world where instead of nuclear weapons, they developed super soldiers first. And, super soldiers pretty much become the nuclear weapons. And it's not a perfected process. So like, they're developing the process as they do it, and like thousands of people have to die sometimes just to find one person that can have the gene to become a super soldier.
Shit.
And, like there's an episode where a super soldier kills Hitler by making him have a heart attack inside of his body. Like, it's super crazy. It is so like great and compelling. I really enjoy that series. And I'm reading Southern Bastards, which I'm not sure if I'm sold on it or not, but it's off to a pretty decent start. It's about a old ass man. Like the protagonist is like a 60-year-old man who goes back home to bury his father who died. And he hates his father and he hates the town that he's from. And he just wants to pack up all his father's shit and get it out in a U-Haul and get out. But he gets drawn into the politics of the town and the crime that's going on in the town, and like his main weapon is a big ass wood stick. That's it.
Ah,
like, he just be fucking niggas up with that stick. It's good, man, but I don't know where it's gonna go. All right, let's get into the news. There's all kinds of news and stuff going on. And I think we already said the last time we were on here, had we seen Planet of the Apes?
Amazing.
No, we hadn't.
Yeah. Yeah, has everybody here seen Planet of the Apes?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, go see Planet of the Apes. I don't have anything else to add other than fuck you waiting for it, go see it. You should be going to see Planet of the Apes. It's the best shit ever, so.
hopefully this isn't a spoiler, but there is a moment watching Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Where I felt like I was watching something way too awesome to be legal, and I had to like collect myself.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They're riding horses with machine guns.
Two machine guns.
He's riding the horse with his foot. If you look, he like whips the horse's hair with his foot. Yes. And I'm like, Year of Doom. They are so much better than us.
That black dude in there said the only thing that mattered when he was like, apes don't need power. They don't need shelter.
Right.
They don't, like, we are fucked. Just do not piss these apes off and we'll be okay. And they wouldn't listen to the black dude, which is typical white people behavior. I said, that is great writing.
Right.
All right. And Jay, I'm going to hang up and call you right back because your mic's doing that weird thing again. Just give me a second. I don't know what's up with Jayla's mic guy. It just keeps like giving like static or something. All right.
Speed out off camera to see if that helps my mic.
All right. It might. Yeah, it could be like the, yeah, we'll see. It could be like bandwidth things. All right. Let's get into the articles. Roberto Orci officially leaves Amazing Spider-Man 3 and the series could be in limbo. Said reports on July 12th. Come to find out that they're still going to come out with Sinister Six. They just moved it back a year, I believe. But yeah, a lot of people are really like trying to act like this is like franchise is a failure now. And I don't understand how they're coming to that conclusion when it did make money.
Right.
Like a lot of money too.
Yeah, like it's really weird. I feel like critics are very like desirous that this movie fail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels a lot like Pacific Rim, where
right.
Didn't they say TASM 2 failed, but Days of Future Past was great when they made like the same amount of money?
Yeah. And then I remember reading articles where the analysts would be like, no, the reason Spider-Man failed is if you look at the advertising budget, that determines a lot. But it's like, so what about Days of Future Past advertising budget? Oh, well, I don't know how much that was. Well, what does that mean?
Right.
I enjoyed Amazing Spider-Man 2 way more than Days of Future Past. Like,
yep.
Yeah. I was outright just not, it was just bleh. Like, I was just watching stuff happen. Like, I wasn't really affected by it. This is a legendary storyline that I should be excited. I just couldn't muster up a care.
Yeah, Days of Future Past violated so many rules of, like, what a plot is supposed to do.
Yeah.
I won't lie. I turned my brain off and pulled a Transformers 4 on that shit. Like,
you had to.
I'm like, you're not going to get me by making me think that, like, fuck you. You do the thinking. I do the watching. And so yeah,
I ended up getting mad again at Days of Future Past this weekend when they leaked that Age of Ultron poster.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed Quicksilver in that movie. I'm like, man, why did you do this to this nigga in Days of Future Past? He didn't need no walk, man. He just needed to be fast.
Everybody was like, this is the coolest scene in the movie. But it was a couple of things. One, how fast was his music supposed to be playing? Because shouldn't the music have been super duper slow in that scene?
Yeah, it should have.
Yeah, I feel like he should have put his iPod on and we should have heard, draw. Like, he should have been like that. And then two, okay, he's super fast. He's a mutant. Why can't he dress himself?
Right.
Like, I feel like that is a completely different set of powers, the ability to not dress.
Apparently so.
So, but yeah, people are speculating that this movie is like, I mean, and it did go too far because it was like Spider-Man 3 won't happen.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's like, yeah, because Sony's going to walk away from
all that money.
You know what they really hate? Hundreds of millions of dollars. They really hate it. And it's not like you could just tweak it or you could just change something in the, you know, the change something. Nah, it's gotta be that. Another thing I noticed that never comes into account, I just thought of while we're talking. You know how they always talk about movie ticket sales as the way that movies make money, but don't they make money from product placement too?
They do. They do.
And yeah, people shit on product placement, but like maybe that is what, you know, some of these movies are using to stay afloat.
And not only that, if you think about it, all the product placement in Spider-Man is always Sony products.
Yeah.
So it's free product placement for them and just, you know, extra money.
Yeah.
Like putting their own products in the movie and then people are buying them.
Yeah. Interesting, man.
That, and don't they make money off of the sales of the, like, the Blu-rays and DVDs and all that stuff, too?
Mm-hmm.
But And I guess my thing is this. Why are they so hard on movies that they don't like? Because a lot of critics, especially a lot of older white critics, hate comic book movies. Or either they'll pick one, rave about that one, and all the rest of them are some bullshit for the rest of the year. But yet some bullshit ain't nobody gonna watch. Y'all rave about it, and that shit loses money, and it don't make a budget, and there's never a second version of it.
Yeah.
Dread, which was awesome, and didn't get a sequel.
And Dread ended up making a lot of money off of the sales afterwards.
I'm still very bitter that there's not gonna be a sequel to Dread.
I know.
They're still trying to do it. Carl Urban is still like on that shit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Carl Urban's like, over my dead body, niggas. I'm going to make this happen.
He making videos like, nah, we're going to get this done. I don't know how we're going to do it.
I believe in him, though, because my man Vin Diesel got that Riddick made.
Yeah, dog. I still don't understand. Like, Riddick, I fucked with it, but I still don't understand how 10 years later he pulled Riddick off.
Dog, what? There was literally me and Sterling were the only people that wanted that to come out.
Like,
I don't know how.
I remember it started. It was like a Facebook post. Like, somebody was like, Vin Diesel, you should make a Riddick movie. He was like, I'm a do it. Right. Nigga, what? Like,
and he didn't even have to use his own money.
Nope.
I was like, oh, you gonna use that Fast and Furious money? He's like, I don't need that. I got you, homie. I got you. What you want to see? A possible white man in space?
I got you.
Mm-hmm. The Sinister Six movie. Now, this is 9 days later, July 23rd, the Sinister Six movie gets a November 2016 release date. So apparently, Amazing Spider-Man didn't get canceled. It got pushed back by 2 years. Now, I don't know what that means necessarily, man. Like, my highest of hopes, and I know this is pipe dreaming, guys, but just allow me to pipe dream, okay? I would love, love, love for the Sinister Six movie to end with Andrew Garfield dying as Spider-Man and them introducing Miles Morales in the closing credits. And Amazing Spider-Man 3 actually being Miles Morales' Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, that would be greatness.
Now, I know that's not going to happen, but let me have my dreams, okay?
I'm really mad you even put that thought in my heart, because it's all I really want now.
Because, you know, Sinister Six, I mean, you can win, quote-unquote, and still lose. So, like, just have him save the city and then get killed.
Yep.
I would love that.
I'm okay with this. Like, I think that might be the new move. Like, if we need to bring back the Donald for Spider-Man moment, we can do this. Like, after Halo 5 said that the dude on the cover is a black man, like, anything's possible. Fuck it.
And you know, Andrew Garfield was like, I don't want to be 40-year-old Spider-Man.
Right, because he already in his 30s playing an 18-year-old.
So when you move it to 2018, man, like, that can't be good for him, man. I could really see him being like, yeah, I'm not interested in being, you know, geriatric Spider-Man and shit.
Yep.
He got the best thing out of the series. It's like, he actually got to go home with the girl.
Yeah.
The best thing out of the Amazing Spider-Man series is Dennis Leary just staring at niggas in that second movie and not saying a word.
Oh my God.
He got a check for that. And he was on talk shows, and I'm like, you were barely in this movie.
He said nothing, and it was awesome.
By the way, you just made me want, I realize now I need that gif in my life.
Oh, nigga, I have it.
Yeah,
made those. That Dennis Leary death stare, nigga? Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to be sending that to people, because things have gotten so homophobic and misogynist in my mentions this week. I would really love to send them the Dennis Leary death stare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's wrong with you?
I'll make better versions. I got the 720p copy now, you nigga. Like,
yeah, like that GIF just says fix your life. That's what. Najayla, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I actually got his death stare and the fix your life look by him in real life.
What? Mm. What? How? What happened?
I have a acquaintance, a friend of mine, Lewis Katz, who's a comedian, and he wanted to shoot this short where I play his psychotherapist, but I have to sit on his face. So they shot it at Dennis Leary's production studio in the city, and he walks in, and the room we're shooting in has one side is all glass.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting on my friend's face. In like my sexy secretary uniform, and there's Louis walks in like, what is happening? And Louis like lock eyes, and he gives me the look like, really? Is this what you thought you were doing with your life? And he's like, acting. I am not.
Did you stop becoming a, you stopped saving people for a while and just stayed in your room listening to emo music?
I did. I did. Until I listened to my girlfriend's speech, which was very morbid for a teenage girl who didn't know she was going to die.
Oh, man. Wow, that's now yeah. This is suddenly turned as sad as Dennis Leary in Amazing Spider-Man 2. Well, the Sinister Six movie is still coming out, and it's 2016. I did think there, like, this is one of those things though where I have to blame it on the movie companies. I think it's Sony's fault, and I think the entire culture is going way too far announcing shit way in advance.
Right.
Too much shit can change when you're making a movie, which is going to require millions of dollars. And critics are eating shit like this up where it's like, yeah, we decided to move it 2 years because it could be something like Andrew Garfield's having a kid. Who knows? But anytime they move it, it becomes, oh, well, see, this means the movie is doing terrible. It's going to be canceled. They're not going to do another version. And you're just like, do we know this?
It's the same shit happening with video games, too, because Ubisoft always announces shit like a year too early. And remember when Watch Dogs got announced, niggas loved that shit. And then somehow when it was about to come out, everybody hated it. But once you played it, you realized it was still good. I think the same thing's going to happen with The Division.
Yeah.
But they announced that shit. By the time it comes out, everybody's going to hate it.
Oh, shit.
They need to lower that window.
You just reminded me, though, that I am playing Watch Dogs, and I do hate it. You just reminded me that, though.
You hate Watch Dogs?
You know what it is, man. I find the protagonist so boring.
Oh, yeah. He has no personality.
I love the world. The world, like, the, you know, like, affecting stuff during a chase. Yeah. I love hacking. I like the side games more than I like the missions because he is the worst, man. He's the most generic white protagonist ever.
Yep. Yeah, like, it don't make no sense. And I think there's DLC because I think I got the season pass.
Yeah.
There's DLC, and if when you play the game later, you'll meet the dude, but he's like the dude that made the CTOS or whatever, and there's story missions for him, and he's way more interesting of a character. Like, he actually has a personality. He looks a little bit different. Aiden Pierce looks like create a character white guy number one.
Even his costumes are generic. Like, they like, go buy some clothes. The clothes are just the same costume in a different color. It's like they didn't put any thought into his personality, and I think we're at a level now in 2014 where we can demand more from our games, because other people were able to do it, man. There's games that didn't even get great ratings that I really like because the protagonist was interesting. And this dude, listen, man, his kid dies in the opening credits. I don't even give a fuck.
No,
like, his kid is dead. I was like, yeah, all right, dog.
You know what's really fucked up about the storytelling? You'll realize later. Like, they're supposed to tell you there. It's just not his kid. It's his fucking niece.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and when I initially wrote my review, I said that post on Reddit. Niggas like, no, that's his niece. I'm like, what you mean? I drove to the cemetery. It straight says it. Like, yeah, that's your niece. Like,
oh, so,
but yeah, I don't understand how they did that one.
I don't get it. I don't.
The gameplay is really fun, but the story is just, it's just not anything worth writing home about.
Like, there's missions where it's like, your nephew got kidnapped, and I'm like, I'll do that in a couple hours. You know?
Nope.
That's not that, like, a good story. Like, I'll give you a good example. The Arkham series.
Mm-hmm.
All of the Arkham series, the main story missions, you can do them whenever the fuck you want because technically the game is open world.
Yeah.
But when you're doing them, you feel compelled to go do the shit because you're like, oh, fuck, Mr. Freeze just took over the museum. I better get over there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, they took Gordon hostage. I got to go get my homie. I'm not, you know, I don't have time for these side games and these mini missions. I'm sorry. But with this shit, I'll be like, let me go play some dice.
There's so many times when I let that little nigga get kidnapped because I wanted to open up a CTOS station.
Yeah, you think I won't? I'll open up so many of them things. Anyway.
Like, that's nice. I'm going to open up this lift and hit that gate and press that button.
Sorry your son is dead, but I want to do a driving mission. I'm sorry. Destiny. The game that everybody's playing the beta of right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's already scheduled to outsell Call of Duty by at least 15 million copies.
That sounds about right.
What are the metrics for that they're using to measure that?
According to this, they're using, let me see, Activision developer Bungie will sell at least 15 million copies of the upcoming sci-fi shooter Destiny, according to an estimate by Cohen and Company against analyst Doug Cruitt. So I guess he did the estimate. Every year following the big E3 in June, Cohen begins tracking the performance of upcoming games on retail sites like Amazon to get an idea of how excited players are for games. Destiny has the highest rated in 4-year history on Cohen's chart. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, meanwhile, is tracking behind the three previous entries of the franchise, and he believes that a lot of that is due to the cannibalization from Destiny.
I think with Call of Duty, people got bored. It was very generic. They ripping people off. You're charging me, what, $60? Then you want to charge me with $50 for some rearranging maps and some shit like that? And people's like, fuck you, I'm not spending all this money.
You know what's interesting about this, though, is like, in addition to just, like, you know, outselling Call of Duty, because Call of Duty kind of kicked itself with all these games. It's too many at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Destiny might just sell games like that, too, because, you know, for the new-gen situations, systems, there's not a lot out.
No.
Yeah, but I think Destiny is now, because they pushed back Evil Within, it's the first big game of the next-gen lineup. Because you have, like, Destiny, then Evolve, Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor, Batman, Arkham Knight. Like, they just roll out over, like, that six-month period.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Activision made the smartest move, because before it was always Activision against Microsoft, because Microsoft was running Bungie when they were doing the Halo series. So when Halo and Call of Duty were going together, you knew when Halo came out, because it had the bigger fan base, it was always going to take the win. But they always did 3-year intervals, so, you know, Call of Duty made more money. But Activision now teamed up with Bungie. So even if Call of Duty doesn't do well, Activision still wins.
And did you know that they actually had a special bundle for Destiny that they were selling, and they had to stop because it's sold out already.
Yep, I almost bought it. Like, I ain't got no money. I almost tried to pre-order that shit on Amazon. So,
you'd be like, I could put this on credit. I mean, I could probably float.
I'd do something. Like, I mean, yeah, I'll sell my body if I need to.
Somebody got to want this blood. Sometimes I wish there were vampires in real life, so you like, man, I need $40. I wish I could just let somebody suck my blood for like an hour and just call it a day.
I'd pass out, but it'd be all right.
Yeah, I mean, I eat some crackers, you know, I can
put a little bit of salt back in the system.
That's when you know you broke, dog. Like, when you start looking around your shit at what you can sell, like, that's when you broke. Like, you be looking at games and you be like, that's $20 a game.
Shit, nigga, all my fucking 360 games are gone.
Yep.
And out the window, like, nope.
Mine too. Arrow revealed the season 3 trailer. And I said, I know Najayla is saying thumbs down, but I didn't.
I hate Arrow. It's so much of my fiber. It's such a bad show to me. It has freaking Captain, and I can't even muster. It's just everything about it. It's just, and then every female character gets nerfed, and his face. Oh, my God.
I'm excited, though.
What about them pull-ups, though? You're not even there for the pull-ups.
No.
Wow.
I'll watch, like, if somebody puts like a GIF on Tumblr, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then, like, he like, lifts down, you see his face, and I'm like, fuck you, and I rage quit out of there.
Oliver does not do it for her at all.
Yeah, Najayla's hatred of Arrow is legendary and a source of
terrible everything.
It's a source of great amusement for me, because I love the show.
Me too.
He hates it more than I do.
Who does?
My brother hates it even more than I do.
I totally accept Green Batman, and I think you all should too. I think
that's not what Ollie is, and that makes me so angry.
Green Batman is so smart, because nerds would not accept a Batman TV show. So you gotta do Green Batman, call him something else. But I'll be up in there like,
span the world, and it's like, oh, it's Flash. Gonna, like, first of all, nobody has powers, then Flash has powers, and then why couldn't Black Canary have her powers? Is she gonna come back with powers? And she's supposed to be to fight. Ah, everything is wrong. I can't do it.
Yes.
It makes me
But for the rest of us sane people.
Right.
Our shit back, dog.
Yes. I'll
have a moment.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie. I kind of got scared watching it. The trailer. I know you've seen it. Like, yeah. I think we talked about it maybe like, it had to be like 20 nerd offs ago or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But we said it like, it might be it for Diggle. You know, you saw him and Ollie arguing.
Yep.
I'm like, don't let this happen, yo. Don't let Diggle die.
They show him ask Felicity out on that date.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then they show her bloody later. I was like, you can't kill, not Felicity, dog. No.
You saw Roy all in the Arsenal gear too. Like,
oh, my nigga Roy gonna be Red Arrow, dog. And his, why is his shit better than Oliver's though?
He came through ready, nigga. Like,
his gear.
I haven't seen it. I gotta watch it.
I'll show you after the show. His gear is so much better than Oliver, dog, man.
I can't wait to see what they're gonna do with it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you watched the show The Tomorrow People.
Nah, mm-hmm. I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, it got canceled. Don't watch it.
Oh.
Because it was an okay show. But everything you wanted to happen happens in the season finale, so you're psyched as hell for the second season. And they're like, nah, nigga, it's not happening. Shut up.
Yeah, I'm glad I avoided that show. I really was going to watch it, and something just told me, like, oh, I know what it was.
Yeah, but if you watch the show, you'll realize that Steve Amell, that's his cousin on the show because they look just alike.
Oh.
The main dudes, he's coming to Arrow.
Oh, okay. I thought they would look alike. But
yeah.
I couldn't fuck with that show, though, because... I started getting ready to watch it, and then they did the, you know, the before every episode where they tell you what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, yeah, powers like teleportation, time travel, and such and such. And I was like, wait a minute, the three T's. Isn't this Jumper?
Yes, it is.
I hate that movie.
I was like, yo, it's Jumper, but they actually tried to make it good. And then, like, there's that moment in the finale called Felon Queen. I was like, what they need to start doing, because she loved this shit. I was like, they need to start doing is fighting with their powers, like jumping, you know, spot to spot, fucking niggas up.
Yeah.
And see the finale, niggas going everywhere, shooting niggas in the head. I'm like, oh, this is hot. Yeah, I can't wait for season two.
Yeah,
Next day, it was like, nah.
See, that was the thing. What made Jumper work is Samuel Jackson being evil.
Hayden Christensen was in that movie, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Doing his non-acting. So, yeah, you need you some... if you could get my man Samuel Jackson running around, I'll watch it. But I don't think that's going to happen, so fuck that.
Mm-mm.
Glad you warned me. I did see the Flash trailer, but I refuse to watch the leaked season premiere.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I'll wait till it comes on my TV. I don't want to ruin too. It. I don't want to ruin it for myself.
I'm not doing it, yo. I felt like shit last year when I saw Almost Human in the 100, like months early at New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
I can't live with that stress again. Like the Flash shit and Constantine
mm-hmm.
have been online for about like a month and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
I downloaded it, and right before I clicked play, I was like, nah, yo, don't do it. But of course, my brother, he did it. He came to me in the hospital the day after my surgery, like, just depressed. I was like, what? He was like, I can't talk about it. I was like, exactly, nigga, right. And that's why I'm waiting.
Yeah, I'm waiting, too. Yeah, niggas trying to trick me into it, too. Nope.
I'm not going to be hyped for 6 months by myself.
Yeah,
but it's so good. I can wait.
Mm-hmm.
My boy tried to hit me with it when I went to Wing Night. Hey man, you watched it yet? Nope. I got a link. I'm good. I don't watch anything on my computer. Mm-hmm. I wait till it's coming
right.
on TV.
We didn't spend all this money for this big ass TV to watch something on the computer screen.
You got to stream to the Xbox. I want to make it look right, but
yep. And he looked so depressed that he couldn't talk about it. And I said,
yep.
"See,
like, nah, bro,
it's your fault." There's gonna be a Hitman Agent 47 movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was reading about that Variety. That was gonna be the guy who unfortunately passed away, and they have to recast it. But I didn't know who. Oh, they actually recasted it with another British actor, but he's really scrawny.
Mm. Yeah, he looks skinny as shit in this picture of him. And Zachary Quinto is in it, so that's good. I like him.
I like his eyebrows. His character.
His eyebrows are flawless, okay?
He's going to play in a Hitman movie, though.
Yeah, I mean, but do we really know shit about the Hitman folklore? Like, I don't give a fuck.
I do. Like, I love that series.
Oh, well, you don't count.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I was the nigga that went to go see the original Hitman movie and was just mad in the theater. Like, he doesn't do that. He doesn't. Do that.
Yeah, I went to see it in the theater, and I was just mad that the movie wasn't good. Mm-hmm. But also, man, like, Hitman seems like a terrible choice to make a movie out of. Because if you played the game, the entire thing is that he's low key. Like, he doesn't, want to do a whole lot of action set pieces and huge explosions and shit. Like, that means he's fucking up.
Yeah, a proper Hitman movie would just be a whole bunch of talking, and then a nigga will fall over.
Yes.
It'll be the next scene. Like, that would be it. Or fucking, like, a piano will crash on somebody. Like,
yeah, it would just be this nigga dressed in, like, a chef's uniform walking out of a business meeting. And 2 days later on the news, it's like, this dude died. That would be the end.
Like, somehow he got Ebola virus.
Yeah. Like, I would make that movie, if I directed it, I would make the movie of him, like, going to the gym. Then he would be, like, going out to get something to eat. And then he would, like, go for a drive. And then he would, like, get in go see a movie. And then he'd go home, turn on the news, and they would be like, the president is dead. And then he would just go to sleep. And that would be the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be like, but we never saw him. I'm like, you saw it. That's how he works. He killed him while y'all were watching.
The only Hitman movie niggas want to see is the one where you don't know how to play Hitman. So you fuck up and just walk in the building with the guns out.
Right. And you die. And then die. You gotta
shoot everybody. Like, that's not what you want to happen.
Yeah. I that's the thing about Hitman.
In the newer games, there's a little bit more action. There's not as much. I mean, there's mostly, like, stealth, but they have long stretches where it's action and there's higher stakes.
In which movie? In this one?
The games.
Oh, in the games.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is, though? I don't like the Hitman, like, system, because it's kind of hard to, figure it out sometimes. Like, how you're going to do stuff is a lot of trial and error. Mm-hmm. but there's nothing more frustrating than going through a mission with complete stealth and then just getting caught because, like, a guard turned around, like, at the wrong time.
Yep.
Like, you time everything about his route, but because the new Hitman, these dudes are so lifelike.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cops will stop and be like, hey, Randy, can I get a cigarette? Yeah, man, it's right over here. All right, cool, man, I'm about to come over there. Oh, wait, I forgot my wallet. And you be like, fuck, he forgot his wallet. Shit, how do I get to the ceiling? You dead, nigga. Pow! Like, that shit is, it's like, and it'll be like right before you're about to kill, like, a congressman who is about to pass a law that makes it, like, okay to, like, have sex with babies or something. And you're like, now all these babies gonna get fucked because I messed up. And I didn't know Randy would forget his fucking wallet. That wasn't in the instruction guide. God, man. Such a frustrating game, but it's so good. All right. So, yeah, let's get in the movie. That should be in the movie, by the way.
Paul Walker. That's going to be Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Paul Walker was going to be Hitman?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not going to speak ill of the dead, but it's probably for the best. He's not a good actor.
I'm happy that you said it, so I didn't have to.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah. It might have been good, because I don't think Hitman don't talk. I know, you know, at least in the video game, he don't really talk.
Yeah, he doesn't. But Paul Walker just don't. Paul Walker just not that guy. He's not gritty at all. He's not that dude.
Yeah, I think the dude
that's doing it now just looks like, you know, his chemo is hopefully successful.
Right. Yeah.
Just from the AMC show Rubicon that was on, like, years ago.
Yeah.
I don't, like, because you're only supposed to see the back of Agent 47, he should work because his voice matches Agent 47's voice, and that's what really matters, because he doesn't talk that much. But in the new ones, he talks more than he ever did, and I think that's what they're going to go with.
I'll tell you this.
After he left the agency.
According to the trailer or whatever, they're saying that he gets the job done quietly. I may be in for the movie if they stick to that.
Yeah.
Because I kind of do want to see...
Walking around with a barcode.
Yeah, I kind of do want to see that. And I always thought those games made better movies than games because... you know, stealth is hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard as shit.
One text message away from failure.
Always. Like, it just any... It's like, oh, you didn't see that cigarette sitting there. That dude's going to come back and smoke that. You're like, fuck. Now I got to kill this nigga. Then you kill him and somebody's like, hey, anybody seen John? Yeah, I think he was in that room. Why don't we all get our guns and go in there? He's like, I only got 3 bullets or whatever the fuck. Nickelodeon pulls upcoming Legend of Korra episodes.
Why?
Yeah.
They did digital only. I mean, I didn't really watch Legend of Korra because I wasn't exactly enthused by the new series as much as, the original. But I think they just did another thing like what Cartoon Network did. You know, its core audience are older women, mm-hmm. and we don't buy toys. So they don't care about us. So they're like, oh, we could run all these shows where people get action figures and it'll be toyetic and make people money. So screw people who like a story.
Well, I appreciate what they did in all honesty.
So they're just not going to air it?
Well, I have a whole story here, Karen. I can read it. If you guys want.
Yes.
Please. I do.
They're taking them off of TV, but the actual creator of the show put a Tumblr pic out saying that it had not actually been canceled. It's just been taken off of the air, and they will digitally distribute it. They have not said exactly how. So they don't say it's gonna be Netflix or whatever. Like, they haven't said what platform. Maybe it might only be the website, but it's moving to digital. And he said, we'll talk at the Comic-Con. Thanks for caring.
This is some bullshit.
I know. Me and Karen don't miss an episode. We literally have one on our DVR right now from last night.
On episode 2 of the second season.
Wait, that's when you stop watching?
No, I still want to watch.
Oh.
Play as fuck up, and I ain't got past that episode. I have the whole thing just sitting there on my queue to watch, but that's the reason why I don't mind them going digital.
Yeah,
because I normally watch my stuff digitally anyway, because most I like watching shit in 1080p just because I got a big ass TV, so 720p doesn't look as nice sometimes. So if you give me digital, I know you're going to give me the 1080p version as opposed to the 720p version get when it goes on Nickelodeon.
Well, Nickelodeon has Nickelodeon HD, and that's what we record in. And I guess my issue with the whole thing is that it's a great series. I love the first one, but to me, the storyline in this one, I try to find it's actually better told than the original one.
Yep.
Because in that first season, especially when they told the story about the very, very first Avatar and went back mm-hmm. into history and mm-hmm. showed the links. It was like
That was in season 2, Karen, but yes.
Season 2, but the background story and how they connected it, to everything, and how now you're seeing Ta as an adult. You're seeing, some of the characters that was children as adults now. Yeah.
And Korra is a great protagonist in herself. And I love this idea, of a female lead, and her love life being intertwined with this. And it's it's very complicated because it's not just like her being pursued necessarily. But it's also not her as I'm a strong, independent black woman. It's like a good mix in between of just young people trying to find love while also having the burden of being the avatar and having to save the entire world.
I hope Netflix gets this now to think about it.
Yeah.
It's I haven't got past episode 2 of the second season. I don't know how fucked up the show is anymore, mm-hmm. but the season finale of season 1 was one of the most fucked up things I've watched at 11 a.m. on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
They reenacted D-Day, and then there was a murder-suicide.
Yeah.
You can't show that shit at 11 a.m. But I watched it this is amazing. But, a kid probably got fucking PTSD now watching Korra.
Yeah, it says it got low ratings for the first half of the season. By the way, a lot of this is their fault.
Right, they showed on a fucking Friday night.
Well, yeah, not just being on Friday. They didn't market this at all.
No.
You didn't see any commercials about the return of Korra. I remember when we found out, it was us going, I said, man, I really miss Legend of Korra. And someone was like, oh, yeah, dog, they're going to start airing new episodes in 2 weeks. And I was like,
why? I found out by somebody tweeting me,
yeah, right. That should not happen.
Right. There was no marketing of here is more Korra.
As someone as plugged in as me and Sterling are, mm-hmm. that should never fucking happen that I go, oh wait, that show's coming, and I only heard through Twitter. Like,
right.
I'm actually looking for nerd shit all the time, and I have my DVR set, and I watch other nerd things. I watch other cartoons. Like, why isn't there a commercial for the return of Korra, man? Like, they kind of fucked this one up.
I think it was intentional.
Yeah, they don't like when girls like superheroes.
Well, like Najayla said, if they're not buying the toys and shit, maybe.
That's true, yeah. Cause...
And then, you know, also, it's been getting critical praise, but I don't think it ever had huge viewership after they spun it off.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it, too. Like, this shit isn't really working. Let's just show more reruns of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So, yep. So, one episode from this Friday and four from August 1st to August 8th have been pulled from Nickelodeon's programming. Though, episode 8, The Terror Within, is still scheduled to air, well, last Friday, yesterday. So, oh man, really sad news, man, for all of us, all four of us Korra fans that exist in the world now.
Right. And I think for me, so if you do it again, are you going to get a male just because you feel like a female just don't bring that drawing?
Are they going to do it again?
Right.
We don't know. You know, and there's always four books. So are we going to just end with the third book? That's it? Like, I don't know. Definitely not good news.
Kickstart it.
Yeah, let's kickstart it.
They said it was going to be some SDCC news. I'm looking through my stuff, but I'm not seeing them say anything yet, so I guess they'll probably say something tomorrow.
I love it so much, I played that shitty game. Like, that's how much...
It's coming out with a new Korra game, too. Like, that's actually supposed to be good.
No, I played the Aang game. That's how...
Oh, you mean the one where you can get, like, all the achievements in, like, 5 minutes by pressing the B button?
Yeah, that one.
Yep, me too.
I played the shit out of that and didn't even know about the achievements. The Xbox One will get better every month for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
The monthly features updates for Xbox One have been mapped out well in the autumn, the gaming giant Microsoft revealed today. Answering fans' questions, Xbox chief Phil Spencer said the content of the feature-rich updates have been planned through October, while monthly boosts will continue thereafter. He tweeted, "We're working through the feature list through October. Monthly updates will continue and features look good." Microsoft has made no secret of the fact that Xbox One is a work in progress, which will continue to be improved throughout the console's lifespan through regular updates. The next update is due in August and will bring remote purchases through Xbox Smart Glass or Xbox.com to the console, which I wonder if we're going to be able to pre-order.
We won't yet, but we will.
Yeah, because just saying, that's one of the steps towards it.
Yeah, I forgot what they said, but I think it's not like going to be till fall where they're going to be able to actually pre-order shit.
Okay. Because I just know that's one of the steps, though, is that you go to Xbox.com, I want this game, and then it just kind of sends something to your console, like, start downloading when you can.
So I think they're trying to do it all at once because they want to make sure they don't do that shit where Sony did. And they still do it right now where it's all time-coded to Pacific Standard Time. Mm-hmm. I think when they start pre-ordering, they want to make sure that it's time-coded to your time zone. Mm. So you don't have to wait till 3 o'clock in the morning to get your shit. You can go 12:01 a.m. wherever you live and pick up your start your copy because it'll already be pre-installed.
There's also an on-screen warning when your controller battery gets low, the ability to turn off notifications when watching video, and improve social activity feed updates and 3D Blu-ray compatibility.
Yep, and there's one more thing I found out with my update that came through. Like, you know, if you ever have to hard reset your Xbox and you have you basically just hold down the button on the console.
Yeah.
It turns on. When it turns back on and it's a green screen, they now put dots there to show you it's moving and your shit's not frozen.
Oh, okay. And also it will improve install and load times for the console. So, yeah.
And my thing is this, and I'm going to say this, and I've always felt like this. Fuck you fanboys that goddamn complained about every motherfucking thing, because this is shit they should have announced a month or two ago when they had a big-ass convention. This is the shit that they should have been announcing, other than a big-ass long run of movie or video game trailers. They should have been announcing about the upgrades and things they're going to do to make the system better.
And in typical Sony fashion, they announced that they will be getting 3D Blu-ray support next week. So, and I assume everybody clapped for that one and booed the Microsoft one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to use 3D Blu-ray support now, so Like,
yeah, I don't use it at all. It's just very funny because
it just came like, I'm doing it too, y'all.
Yeah, like that. They are the best at being like us too.
Mind you, them niggas said like I think last November before the PS4 came out, they were like, we're gonna let you be able to use MP3s and stream media, and niggas still can't. Like,
yeah.
Can I just get like the same features I had on my PS3 and my Xbox 360 and I'll be happy?
Yep. That's all I'm waiting on. Best Buy accidentally sold Xbox Ones for $45 for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And if I bought one, you better give it to me.
Shit. Yep. I wish I caught that sale. I would have grabbed like three of them bitches.
Canadian gamers must have thought they were still dreaming when they logged on to Best Buy Canada today to find the Xbox One console listed with Rayman Legends for $45 Canadian. The listing was made public by a Reddit user who posted the above photo. Best Buy has obviously corrected the mistake by now. Yeah, obviously. But there's discussion on a Reddit thread of some about a very lucky few gamers who may have managed to grab the deal of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I love that shit.
I remember like, Go ahead.
Start. I was like, I used to deal with all that shit back when I used to work at like Game Crazy and GameStop because I live in New Jersey. So we have a law that if that's the price it's marketed at, we must sell it at that price.
Yep.
I'd always fuck customers over. Like, I'm a dickhead for it.
Ah!
But, like, as soon as you came, like, yeah, no, it says it's $5. I'm like, oh, true, you about to get a deal of a lifetime, my nigga. Let me ring you up. And as soon as I'm ringing up, I just fucking pull the phone cord out. Like,
oh, man.
Shit went down. I don't know, dog. Let me help you. Like, while I'm supposedly helping them, I'm re-putting in the right code. Like, you know, I'm not getting my fucking district manager coming here asking me why I just sold that shit for $55 off. Like,
Shady retail tactics. Speaking of shady retail tactics, GameStop says that only 40% of its customers knows that they accept trade-ins for in-store credit.
I hate GameStop so much.
How do you not know?
I found out some shit about GameStop, like last week, because I got my wife. I don't know if you ever been there. Did you see they have the Apple products now?
Yeah.
They don't test the Apple products before they take them.
Of course they don't. No. They're GameStop.
They don't test but shit.
And they don't, like, they just, like, what they do, like, what most companies used to do, where they just, take the console or take any iPhone and then, you know, like, send it out somewhere.
Yeah.
But even when they send it out, they'll give it back broken. Like, I think at my local GameStop, there's three iPad 1s that don't charge at all, can keep no battery life, but they just have them there. And, I bought my wife an iPad 3 from there and never had any battery life. I could never figure out why, like. GameStop is just horrible
place. And they will continue to resell it until somebody just doesn't return it in time.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Najayla, what were you going to say?
I forgot.
Oh, all right. Sorry about that. But yeah, GameStop doesn't give a fuck. I've been saying it for years, and people, I remember when Scar wrote the show and got mad at me and later had to like go back and be like, my bad, dog, because they ain't shit, dog. You can fuck a game and then give it to GameStop, and they will be completely fine with it. Like, oh, yeah, I put my dick through the hole right there. And they'll be like,
My brother has actually traded in hardcore pornography, like the hentai,
mm-hmm.
at a GameStop that he worked at. And they gave him, what was it, $5?
Yeah, the generic.
They just gave him, like, a generic buyback. So they had hardcore pornography just on the shelf for, months. And nobody noticed.
I absolutely believe him, man. GameStop.
That's about right.
GameStop has no screw. GameStop is like a pawn shop with games in it now. You know?
I miss the old days when niggas cared. Like when you could walk in and just talk to people. And it was like, you know, like just a hangout shop for gamers. And everybody was like on the same shit. But then they moved to like just being about sales. And it ain't been right since.
Yeah, I remember when I used to be nervous. Like, hey, right. I want to sell Madden. They take your shit out. Look at the back
they
of it.
Spray it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Put it in a console.
GameStop, they used to call Xboxes, like the original ones, roach motels, because they would just take the trade in. And then they realized there were like roaches everywhere because people would have a dirty apartment. Roaches would get in their Xbox, they'd trade it in. And then it would just like, after they spray it, it'd just be like this exodus of creepy crawlies all over.
Oh.
This is why I'm never moving to New York.
Yeah, that's some other shit right there. I never experienced that down here.
Yeah, I don't need to be living in the strange.
Long Island.
One of the key elements in the running of film studio is release date management. Apparently Marvel is all over this. They're planning on Kevin Feige, I think is how you pronounce it, wants one new Marvel film and one Marvel sequel every year.
Why?
Because they want to make money, Karen. What do you mean, why? He's the president of Marvel Studios, and he's like, I'm about to get this money. So they announced, I think they announced they're going to do, what, 9 films or some shit? And, like, the next, I forget how long it was. It's not even that long. Like, here it is. They announced the continued adventures of Captain America and Captain America and the Winter Soldier while introducing Guardians of the Galaxy. Next year, Avengers Age of Ultron, but also they will have Ant-Man. And in 2016, Captain America 3 with the second release date likely being Doctor Strange. Meanwhile, 2017 has 3 release dates. We could probably assume one of those is Thor 3. So, yeah, they're putting out tons of movies. What's wrong with that, Karen?
If they do it right, it will be. I think it would be good. And so far, they've showed that they can do it. And I guess my thing was like, I won't say oversaturate, but with you spacing the big ones out, that's good. Like you say, I think I like the break with the Guardian of the Galaxy and the Ant-Man. I think that will give people a break, because I was like, if you come out with like superhero. I mean, even though some of these are superheroes too, it's just. I mean, like their main people, like, you know, Thor and then Captain America and then, you know, somebody else from the crew, Iron Man. And I've known that they put them fairly close together, but this is spacing them out more.
Well, before they were the main characters, these guys were kind of like the nobodies. These were the franchises that other movie Fox and Sony didn't want. So they have that opportunity to create some new ones with Ant-Man. True. And, you know, maybe we'll get some Black Panther at some point. Maybe we'll get...
Rumors that Black Panther is supposed to be one of the third waves. It's going to supposed to supposedly come out 2017, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever it is, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy was not a thing we wanted until we saw that trailer, and then it was like, I think I'll watch a fucking talking raccoon with guns. I'll watch that.
I will, too.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. I
think the rapid release keeps all these properties fresh.
Yeah, that's true.
Books.
And you know what? On a other positive note, it ensures that we won't have to get reboots, you know, from these franchises, because it feels like, you know, Sony fucked up, and it's like, oh, let's just reboot this because it's been too long. Like, mm-hmm. We never kept it going, so
right, because they didn't want to invest the money.
We got a reboot Fantastic Four. We got a reboot Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. They basically rebooted X-Men with Days of Future Past, kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
I think Marvel's onto something where it's like, if we keep up momentum, we don't have to reboot shit.
Right, we could just evolve the characters and let characters die and bring new because it's a comic book. Characters mm-hmm. die all the time and come back as other people.
FX, which is one of the best channels on TV, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They have decided something that I really think everybody should have been doing. And for anybody who listened to me on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast that I used to do with Andrew and crew,
mm-hmm.
it was my big thing when people would shit on the ratings for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I was like, but what about the live plus 3 numbers, like, and the DVR numbers? Because those are more important than the Nielsen boxes, in my opinion, because right. It tells you digitally who liked your show enough to record it and then watch it later.
Yeah, I think they do up to 7 days. Like what they do is they do the Nielsen ratings, then they'll count the people that recorded it, and then they'll add the people that recorded it. They'll have like a 7-day span to see how many people actually watched it within that 7-day span. And I think that those are really true numbers.
So FX has decided to not pay attention to live plus same day numbers anymore. They're like, we don't worry about that. It's a first for TV industry grappling to get an accurate handle on the audience measurement in the DVR era. The network waited until Nielsen issued live plus 3 numbers on Friday to release any ratings data on the press to the press. The live plus same day numbers were issued by Nielsen on Tuesday and reported in some outlets, but they are increasingly becoming irrelevant for a business whose chief advertising currency is sold off numbers and included 3 days worth of DVR playback.
Right.
With the exception of sports, news, and live events, live plus same day numbers no longer accurately reflect the audience delivery for a scripted entertainment program, said FX's John Solberg in a note accompanying Friday's rating release.
And this makes sense because a lot of people, like, it's a lot of shit me and Roger record that we watch later on. Most of the shit we don't, we can't watch live.
Well, and hopefully this means that they won't cancel everything, you know, because sometimes they get so caught up on the day of numbers that you end up canceling something that could be good, you know. Like, I bet Almost Human just was in the wrong fucking time slot. Monday, I think it was Mondays at 8 or some shit. Like, that's when all the heavy hitters are out. But I bet you if you wonder if people, like, DVR'd it, the numbers would have went up a lot.
Yes.
So, yeah, he said, we believe they grossly mischaracterized the actual audience due to the multiple data streams and platforms. Therefore, our first acknowledgement of any ratings will be on a live plus 3D basis, 3-day basis and beyond.
And I agree because studios invest a lot of fucking money in these TV shows. And I think they still do it, but I think the days of, unless the show is just really, really, really bad, the days of putting shit out and chopping it after 2 or 3 episodes is over. I think a lot more shows are going to at least let that first season roll out before they determine if they're going to chop a show. Because if you got a brand new show and nobody's heard about it, you got 2 episodes in and you decide to chop it, you never gave the audience, you never gave it time to build an audience.
And you don't even have ninjas coming in solving people's, like, serious mental issues and shit.
No, you have.
Sorry.
That would be the new tactic to save a show. Like, oh, the show's not doing too well. Well, did you insert ninjas? Try again. Do better. I would have, that's how television works.
You would get me every single time. So you'd have at least one person.
I'd watch the shit out of Touched by an Angel plus ninjas.
Oh,
that would be amazing.
Touched by a Ninja.
Yeah, Touched by a Ninja would be so good.
There you go.
Oh, you know, I never reconciled with my dead mother. She thinks she died thinking I hate her. And then they do that yo sound and then she show up. That'd be good.
I'm in for that.
Batman will not appear in Fox's Gotham series.
Am I the only person who just doesn't care about this Gotham series? Like, just thinks it's so unnecessary. It's just filler.
Well, for me, I would first want to reply to the title of this article with a no shit.
All right.
It's called Gotham. Right. Not Batman. If Batman was anywhere near it, it'd be called something with Batman. Number two, I'm very interested, and I meant to mention this when I talked about what we've been reading. I read the first 2 volumes of Gotham Central. Oh my God. Where has this been all my life? It's just detective stories in Gotham. And it's so good. It's like New York, what was it called? NYPD or CSI or something?
NYPD Blue?
Yeah, it's like NYPD Blue, but with, like, Gotham people. It's good as fuck. Like, it's just, like, you know, man, Bullock, like, falls on hard times. This nigga's alcoholic. He got kicked off the force. Showed up the Penguin's, like, lair because he suspected the Penguin in a crime that, he actually didn't commit. Like, he just shows up and beats the fuck out of Penguin in front of everybody. And, like, the cops have to arrest him and put him in a drunk tank. Like, it's some really compelling shit with characters that never get screen time in the Batman universe because it's pretty much James Gordon, Batman, you know. And then
Alfred.
Everybody in costumes and Alfred, right?
Yeah.
And whoever Bruce is fucking at the time. It's always that. But this joint was actually like, you know, what if you don't have powers? Which, honestly, if you think about it, kind of more interesting than Batman. What if you don't have powers or money and you're still charged with, like, solving crimes? And there's, like, supervillain level crimes. Like, the opening of one of the stories, 2 cops go into a house for, like, a regular, like, search and seizure or something. They open a door. They don't know it, but Mr. Freeze is in there.
Oh.
And Mr. Freeze freezes the fuck out of one of them dudes and kills him, and then, like, fucks up the other dude's arms, and then, like, lets him live because he wants him to feel the pain of losing his partner, because he's all about making people feel pain since his wife Nora got frozen and died, and, like, whatever happened to her. So Yeah, fucking great. So anyway, that got me hyped for Gotham because I kind of do want to see how the police, if it was just the police trying to solve a crime, what it would do.
There's no supervillains yet. It's supposed to be their origin stories.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to see the development. Like, if you ask me where would I start the story, I don't want to start it with, like, let's solve, how will we deal with a gang war between Falcone family and Penguin. I want them to start with, like, how the fuck did you get to Penguin? Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't, if you think about it, that doesn't make sense. That there's a fucking dude named Penguin that runs all the crime. That has to be a story there. So I'm kind of interested. I've always said Batman's rogues are more interesting than he is.
I don't trust a television studio to do it right, because I think we're just going to end up with Arrow.
Yeah, well, you remember, though, I love Arrow and you hate it. So it's just, yeah, right. So I'm excited, but I can see why you wouldn't be, you know
me
what
too.
I mean? But yeah, this totally hit me in the fun button. I was like, what is this? And they got young Commissioner Gordon looking like he's still going. That's the other thing. Commissioner Gordon is so fucking interesting. And the comics never really get to go into it, man. Because Batman's going around being Batman and shit. But this nigga, like, moved from, like, Chicago, was trying to be a clean cop, had to kind of get dirty at the beginning. Like, I remember there was a huge thing about him, at least in one book, where he accepted, like, a coat from a cleaner because his partner was on the take. And he was basically told, like, if you're not on the take too, nobody's gonna trust you. So he took the coat too, but then he never wore it and he always felt bad about it. But yeah, and then, like, there's another, like, have y'all ever seen or read what is that? Batman Year Zero?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that story is basically James Gordon's origin story. That's not Batman's origin story.
We've seen that, but that was wonderful.
Yeah, like, and like, I kept waiting for Batman, like, to bail him out of certain situations. Mm-hmm. Jim Gordon will fuck your ass up, dog. Like, they fucked him up with them bats, and he went and got everybody's ass back. He didn't need no cape or none of that shit. He was showing up with his face bandaged up like, can I talk to you for a second, dog? Thought that shit was cool. So, yeah, I'm in. Now look, maybe my hopes are too high. Maybe they fuck it up. Maybe the jailer's completely right. Lord knows enough shit has been fucked up for me to be cynical, but I'm going to be hopeful, guys. But,
middle cynical adults. It's what I do.
Yes. That's why you're here. To keep us all level. I will be cynical in a second, but this is just not about this. All right. Wonder Woman costume out, y'all.
Meh.
Yeah, yep. everybody's kind of like, eh. Now, I will say this, Gal Gadot looks better than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought she was going to look horrendous because the last time I saw her was in Fast and the Furious, and she was so thin that I was like, I don't know how you see her and then think Amazon or Warrior or anything because she's so thin. Like, it looked like she weighed 90 pounds, and I've never seen them draw 90-pound Wonder Woman. So I was just
she
like...
she gained a little bit of weight.
Yeah, I was like, how's it going to look? I think, she did gain a little bit of weight.
Mm-hmm.
I think she looks good, and I think, you know, she fits with what Nolan and Snyder want to do, which is a darker, toned-down, realistic, gritty type of look.
Right.
I would have been much, much more enthused if they would have tried to, like, add some color and make her more vibrant.
She looks like Xena. You know, she just looks like Xena.
She does look like Xena.
Right. The Warrior Princess. Yeah.
She does look like Xena. I would have liked more if they, cause like, I'm not nervous for DC necessarily, but the thing that kind of makes me feel like, man, I wonder if they're going to get this right is that, they don't have a lot of variety to characters. As opposed to, Avengers, which, you know, hate to make the direct comparison, but Avengers has a lot of, like, oh, it's funny because these guys would never, like, it doesn't, there's a world where the Hulk exists with Iron Man and Thor. Like,
yeah.
There's this, like, completely genre bender type of thing. And I feel like Nolan and Snyder are gonna actually go, nah, let's just dull everyone down a bit so that it seems like they're in the same world.
I think DC is like, okay, our biggest property is Batman, so we're just gonna Batmanify everybody. And that doesn't work.
Because
the reason why I'm not looking forward to this Batman Superman movie is because they made Superman Batman, so do we get Ultra Batman? Even then, they're not going to have that chemistry, which is why they were world greatest together, because they are so wildly different from each other.
I think they're going to do this shit right from what I heard that teaser was. Like, if niggas like Dark Knight Returns, they're going to fuck with Dawn of Justice.
Yeah. I mean, I would watch it because I actually did enjoy Man of Steel.
Retrospectively, I don't really like the Nolanverse.
Yeah, I know a lot of...
I don't think he got Batman.
Yeah, I think a lot of the cynical people have been saying that, and that's fine, because I agree that Nolan's Batman is his Batman. You know what I mean? Like, I think everybody that... It's like a graphic novel. If Mark Millar writes Batman, he writes it differently than Lee, you know? And I'm okay with that. Even though I think a lot of people are using it as a knock against the films, I don't mind it, you know?
Yeah.
Snyder's Batman actually sounds different than Nolan's Batman. Because it sounds like he's going to be old, angry, Dark Knight Batman.
Yeah.
As long as he's not new Frank Miller Batman, I'm okay.
Nah, from what I've been told, like, they're going, like, full bat suit and all that shit.
Yeah.
So, like, to go against Superman. Like, this is... The Dark Knight Returns Batman.
Okay.
Not the Nolan one.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it sounded like, because they said he's going to be older, grittier, you know, like kind of an elder statesman in the hero game. Like I said, I'm one of those people, I'm trying to just withhold all judgment, because...
He's supposed to be this older statesman, and we're in a world where there's Batman. Why didn't we see that in Man of Steel?
Because that didn't happen in Gotham is why.
No, we did. When they fought in outer space, you saw the Wayne Enterprises satellite, which means...
I saw it, but the world didn't react to it, and I think that's just...
But
the people in the world and the reaction didn't say, this is a world where there is superheroes.
But isn't that kind of a Gotham thing? Isn't that a comic book issue? But it's in modern times.
If Batman was doing stuff in Cleveland, or crappy thing nobody cares about... We would hear about it. That would be on Fox News.
But he's an urban legend, and he's not seeking the camera. So his whole thing, that whole thing is like he's a myth. Like, you don't know if he's around or not, because he's, you know, in this universe anyway.
But if fucking shit up. Batman and they have his rogues gallery, you will write about those people. There's a lady who's controlling plants. There's a guy who runs around pretending to be a clown, killing people.
Oh, yeah, if they have his...
These are people that would make the news. Well,
that's news. That's if they have his Rose Gallery, which we don't know if they do or not. Like, the thing is, though, I don't really like that critique, because it's a comic book issue, and people are looking to the movies to solve the comic book issues, and it's unsolvable. Like... It's the reason there's an Iron Man book and a Thor book, and then it's a big deal when they have a crossover, but if you think about it, they should have a crossover every fucking week. Like, everybody's problem is typically too big for one person on this face, and every problem would be more easy solved with a group of people, but they but they don't write the books that way. You know, like, the X-Men should always want to team up with the Avengers, if you think about it. I mean, fuck, Magneto's a beast. Yeah, but they don't. Easier. Yeah.
I don't think it's a question of why are they teaming up. I think it's why is it interesting and movie-worthy for them to team up if they're pretty much clones of each other.
Because it's Batman and
Superman. It's the same way as a comic book.
It's not Batman and Superman. It's, like, depressed hobo guy who's an alien.
Nah.
And Affleck.
All right. That's just hate. That's not even reasonable. But in the comic books, there's a reason that there's a Justice League comic book, but then there's a Batman comic book and a Superman comic book, and they're not all in each other's shit, because it's storytelling. You're gonna tell some stories that involve just them and some that involve everybody. So I'm not against it. I think, you know, they have to start it somewhere, and this could be a good start to it, you know.
I just don't think they set it up very well.
We'll see. I mean, we don't know how they set it up. We don't know the story.
But I'm looking at the last movie. I felt more ready for Lex Luthor than I am for Batman. Like, I didn't watch...
I think that was the point, though. Because I think that's what they're going to go for is...
Yeah, like, Lex is in this movie.
Yeah, he destroys Lex's truck and destroys a Wayne Enterprise satellite. So they're probably going to team up to take out Superman. And then halfway through, Batman's going to realize that Lex is fucking evil. And then Batman and Superman are going to team up with Wonder Woman kicking niggas ass some shit. Like,
I'm just going to say that's all speculation. I don't know what the fuck the plot is going to be. I'm just saying...
I'm
going to allow them the space to create the shit, man. People already shitting on it, and like, I don't like the costume, or why they get that girl casted, or Ben Affleck, and I'm trying to stay out of that zone because I don't want to get that negative, man. I'll never get out of it.
I think we said it early on.
I'm not very invested in the world that they built. They didn't build a very engrossing world. I don't care about these characters. Man of Steel, to me, was just like stuff happening, flashbacks, flash forward, stuff happening, hobo, blah. It was just like until that orgy of destruction, and then I was very much awake, but I still didn't care about anything. And I don't know, it just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, we just see that movie completely different. I'm not even going to rehash it.
We've had this conversation.
Yeah, we do it every time you come on the show, and we always come to the conclusion that you're wrong. So let's just not even waste the time of the audience and just go to the next topic. Anyway, Wonder Woman's suit is dark. Okay, guys, she looks like Xena, but with like iron and shit.
And you know, and to an extent,
I just hope Hephaestus made her gauntlets and everything. She may have the gods.
And I guess for me, I know that like say they darkened her down, but I think it would have been more. If she would have went to the traditional red, white, blue, and gold, I think it'd have made the costume almost pop out more.
Right.
You know, because that's what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting just a almost like a brass, dull gold.
Well, that's the problem is, like I said, the when I saw this picture and the Batman picture and the Superman picture, The one issue that I have is that they have an opportunity right now to actually have some culture clashes, and that would actually make the movie better, in my opinion. Like, it would make what they're doing more of a viable property to be like, now we're going to have a Wonder Woman movie because she's so fucking different from everybody else.
Yeah.
We want to see that. But when you kind of like make everyone brown and gray, I don't know that people really will walk out of there like, nah, I need to go see a movie starring these other people.
And you brought up a good point, because the thing about it, they kept Captain America bright as hell. Right. They kept Thor bright as hell.
Right.
Like, their costumes are bright. And not only that, they sell fucking toys. Like, you sell toys with that.
Yeah, it matters.
Well, it's not the toys. I think the DC movieverse kind of... I don't think they get why people are very attracted to the Nolan, because he had a Batman that fit the atmosphere that we thought Batman should have. It was dark, it was mature, had its issues, but we were able to look past it because we were given what we want. And then they think, oh, that's what people want. But when you go to Superman, I don't think a lot of people, most people don't want Superman to act like that. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't bright, it didn't fill us with joy and hopefulness, which is the whole point of Superman. Mm-hmm. So everybody's just going to be the same dark, dour, gritty hodgepodge of crap.
I mean, he took it very serious, but I would feel like, you know what? It feels like this is measuring up to be like a Watchmen type movie. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's what people were anticipating when we thought of Justice League or...
I honestly don't think it's going to be like, I still don't think she's really going to be in the movie that much.
Me neither.
I think what's going to end up happening, because I think she has a 3-movie deal, because, you know, like they always deal with all the movies where they'll change the costumes. I think she's going to have this red one, maybe like I know her whip is silver in that picture. Maybe it'll go gold when she like, you know, actually use it or not. Who knows? But I think when she gets her own movie, when they go to do Gal Gadot's only movie, that's when you'll get the traditional Wonder Woman outfit. And then it'll be something even different for the Justice League.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, there's also that. I mean, even in the last Captain America movie, he had like three different outfits.
Yep.
But you know, the other part of this is could be, this is something people don't talk about very often. It could be that the Wonder Woman costume looks stupid as fuck. Like, we don't know. Like, that's like, I think sometimes it comes down to like, we tried. She looked dumb as shit in this costume, and we had to abort mission and try to figure something else out.
This was the best thing that could fit on her.
Like, there's a reason why she wears that costume, and there's a reason why it has the stars and it has those colors. Like,
yeah.
It's very close to her character. But I don't even trust this movie to even include the mascara, so I'm just like,
right. But they could also make up new reasons. I mean, it's a movie, right? So, like, like I said, man, there's times where, like, because they've tried to launch Wonder Woman properties outside of this, and mm-hmm. people have rejected them when they try to do it. Wonder Woman is extremely difficult to do because, one, you know, she, like, there's a certain amount of, like, feminism and, philosophy behind her character that mm-hmm. if you don't really reach in there and want to, like, make your movie about that or your TV show or whatever, then you're ignoring a huge part of the character.
Right.
That being said, that's also a hot button topic. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna catch heat no matter what if it's like, oh, how she's supposed to be a feminist icon, but why she got on them short shorts? Like, I think some of this shit is just like, all right, we ain't dealing with that. Give her a fucking some armor, make her brown.
Yeah, they just didn't want to do with that backlash. Yeah.
I was more upset that they didn't cast them.
My brother just had a great point because he's talking in my ear. The major issue why costumes in these DC movieverse things are so much different is because, you know, Marvel, they have Marvel Studios. Like, yeah. Marvel is controlling their properties.
Yep.
Warner Brothers and, like, four other studios, like, that are subdivisions of Warner Brothers is working on this. It's yeah. not coming from DC.
Exactly. They don't have, like you said about there's a reason why. They're making movie reasons now. You see what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
Marvel is still trying to find a way to get the comic book reasons into the movie universe. I think DC works backwards. Like, they're like, or not DC, but Warner Brothers, whoever, they work backwards where it's like, what would be a cool ass way to get a flying dude into the real world? You know what I mean? So I think it's a little different. Yeah. That being said, I still enjoyed the fuck out of some Man of Steel mm-hmm. and every single Dark Knight. So, until I don't enjoy one of these movies, I'm gonna still be excited about it. But, we'll see what happens with this one, man. Like, this one makes me the most nervous of the other ones. And, they also are producing the most, spoiler content, I guess. I can't think of a better word, but they're putting the most, like, information out there than they ever have with any Nolan movie. And that seems weird.
Yeah, cause it's not his anymore.
Trying to convince people like me. I mean, there was a lot of backlash to Man of Steel.
Yeah.
So they alienated the fan base. It didn't perform as well here as they thought it was going to perform. So it made oodles and noodles of money.
Well, they just seem pressed as shit, man. I don't know.
They kind of have to be. I mean, when you're openly mocked by your casting choice, which, you know, honestly, I don't think Ben Affleck is that bad a choice. I think he could do Batman.
Yeah.
He's a great actor.
Right.
But, you know, it was largely mocked, so you already they're nervous. They don't trust nerds, I think that's why Warner Brothers doesn't like making movies the way Marvel approaches it. Marvel makes movies for their fans, and if anybody else is on board, that's cool.
But being nervous like this definitely feels like blood in the water, and it seems like they're desperate for approval, and they're not getting it. So I kind of wish they would just like shut up. And then just put out a trailer for the movie at some point. Cause I think as much as people talk shit, they're going to see the movie. And I think as much as they talk shit, when they see that first, trailer or teaser, every last one of us is going to get a bit of a nerd boner of, oh, that's this could be good. And that's all it takes to get us in the theater.
Nerd boner or blind nerd rage. We both know that nerds are very capable of either or.
They do that after they see the movie, though, Najayla.
Yeah, they don't do that in the theater.
Yeah, they don't do it. They won't even do it for the trailer. I'm saying, like, it would have to be such a bad trailer for people to go, I will not see this movie. I think the movie's still going to make a lot of money. because people are going to go see it either, even after being nervous. I don't know that it'll be good, though, but I hope it is. I have no reason to hope it's bad.
I'll eventually see it just because, you know, I'm going to do it and Elon's going to make me, but I'm not looking forward to it.
I can't imagine not seeing this movie, honestly. I don't know what it would take to make me not want to see this movie. It would have to be something so fucking crazy at this point. It would be like if the trailer started with him going, I'm Batman and I'm Bruce Wayne at a press conference. I think that would be enough for me to be like, oh no, they don't even give a fuck. Bye. Like, but I have to go see it.
You just get so much high hopes and then they continually crush it. So I'm personally not looking forward to it. But I
kind of,
I don't know.
Shush. I have low hopes, and they keep doing over mine. So yeah. we're a little different.
I hated Superman my whole life. So
yep, I've never liked.
I feel slighted as a fan when the porno versions of the DC characters look better than what they're putting on screen, and they have multi-million billions of dollars budget.
Yeah, I'm going to say, one, that's bullshit. But then, two...
Have you seen the Axel Braun parodies? They have some great costumes.
They don't... No, it doesn't look better. It does not look better. And you know I've seen the porn. How dare you insult me like that? If anything...
I think Superman's costume looked better.
All right, that's fine. I'm just saying, like... I had low expectations because I've never liked the Superman movie.
I've always thought he's been a boring character.
Yeah, and then the Man of Steel is the first one I liked, so hopefully I'll like the second one, man. That took him forever.
Character, Q's mopey, big mopes, and abs. I was very thankful for those abs, but still, I'm just like, ugh. And then his dad was like, oh no, kill people. What the fuck? I don't care. Like, what?
His dad said, don't kill people. And never show your powers. Come on, man. You're making stuff up to hate them. Now,
no, he's
getting out of control.
Should I let them die? And he goes, I don't know. That is him basically saying, I don't know, son. Think about it. Maybe they got to die. And that is just like, what? Like, I don't know.
He didn't say kill people. He said, don't reveal your powers because people will hunt you down. And that's exactly what happened.
He asked... Should I let them die, Dad? And he looked at the floor, kicked the ground, and said, well, oh, no, like an idiot who says stupid things.
And then,
to be honest, if I was a 45-year-old man that just had my, like, 9-year-old son tell me, should I lift up a bus and save 30 people or not, I'd probably say I don't know either because my fucking mind would be blown.
Mm-hmm. Spend all this time telling them like you special, and if you reveal these powers, they're gonna come dissect you.
Yeah.
But fuck what I've been saying.
The whole point of Ma and Pa Kent, they're supposed to be the best that America can produce in like the heartland. They're so pure. They're like super good, lawful good, aligned people that were able to produce Superman.
But Pa Kent ain't his real daddy. His real daddy is Jor-El. First of all. Second of all, that is the most realistic portrayal of middle America ever. That is exactly how they would have treated that shit. I know because they voted Republican.
Oh,
case
Lord.
Closed. Can't even believe. I know.
Not a realistic representation of what middle America produces.
Yes, that is the most realistic. Middle class, white, older America, it would have absolutely been like, don't say them people. They don't even like Obamacare, and they own it. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk about some real shit, okay? It's the biggest story and the last stories we're going to cover. Marvel has announced that Thor will be a woman and Black Captain America.
Mm-hmm. Goddamn, God bless America.
Now, not Captain Black America, which would be totally different.
Yes, it would.
Watch the shit out of that.
They be rocking the red and the blue, the red, the black, and the green, sissy.
Mm-hmm.
Got the Black America. I ain't saving y'all honkies and then, like, run off. But,
maybe this is me at my most bitter and cynical, but Steve Rogers rage quits and stops being Captain America kind of often. So we're really just getting Steve is either I think he's going to be sick, so he can't take it up, and his friend is filling in for him. So we have temp Captain America, who is happens to be black.
Isn't it like he can't do it anymore because the serum is out of his body?
Yeah, he's sick. Like, he's, like, aging rapidly.
He's 90 years old and shit, finally. Like, I'm good.
But you know they're going to fix it in, like, a couple of months. He's going to go back, so we get...
But we got Black Captain America until then, so I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, this is how black people get all their jobs.
Yeah, like, niggas, it's tip to hire. Like, if he do good enough,
he
keep it, you know what I mean, with the benefits. But now, it's just a little, you know what I mean, shit happens.
We'll see what happens.
Now, here's the thing. I'm way more cynical about this than the Jayla is. Surprise. That's right, everybody. Because I'm worried how they're going to write Captain Black America, Black Captain America. Because I know it's just going to be my man, Sam Dawg, taking over.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. You know what I mean? Nothing against that. I love the imagery of it. But I just hope they're not scared to talk about racial shit, man.
Right.
Like, they should. This is a great opportunity to insert it into the comic book. And I'm tired of people using it as a cop-out, like, just being like, well, it's basically a black person being Captain America, but we're not going to question what patriotism means involving race in America, the relationship that black people have with the idea of patriotism and just America in general. You know, just like, you could use this in so many allegories for, like, the stuff that's going on with the president, how there wasn't, like, a tea party until we had President Obama. Like, stuff that I want to see talked about that is relevant and is happening in pop culture and political culture right now. This is a great opportunity to talk about the shit. And I will only be upset if we get this comic book and they, like, we're not going to discuss any of that shit.
Yeah, generic cut and paste.
Then you didn't really do anything. It's not why are you announcing this on Colbert? Why are you going on The View if you're not going to actually change anything?
Yeah.
Because they want to get the guinea points for doing it. And look how much publicity they've gotten for saying that they're going to do it.
That's why I'm skeptical, Najayla, because did you see any announcement for Storm?
No.
That was in a What If, wasn't it?
Well, I saw Storm issue 1. Why not go out there and be like, by the way, guys, we got a Storm comic now. Like, let's go announce that on BET. I mean, wherever the fuck they were going to plan on announcing that one. But going on the Colbert Report and The View to announce these is kind of like...
They think white people care about this. The announcement was not for people of color.
Yeah.
The announcement was, hey, white males.
Yeah.
Look what we're doing. Tell you something's coming so you don't flip your shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little nervous about it, man. I hope it's good. Honestly, I do in my heart of hearts. But I can see me flipping on this shit real quick if it's just like, you know, we're not even going to touch race, you know? Like, he needs to be late to a fight because he couldn't catch a cab, you know, because it was racist.
Carrier and shit.
We'll always have Captain America Truth, which is a great book that does deal very head-on with race.
Yeah, but I'm sick of them bringing that up. Why can't we do that story in 2014? Why can't we do something about it? Why can't he find out about Captain America Truth as this Black Captain America? Where somebody's like,
love to read that.
Yes.
You also have to realize it's still written by a whole bunch of white dudes.
I know. I don't give a fuck though, because they did a great job with Miles Morales' character. So, nah, fuck that.
Like, but that guy's not writing this book. That's the sad part. Like, it's the same team that's writing Captain America right now. And do you really think that they can go there?
I don't know.
Sure, this should be a natural progression of what this character will deal with.
Right.
But that's just not in the realm of reality. And it would be great if they could, but I don't have that much faith.
By the way, I'm saying I'm cynical because I don't think they will. I don't think they will, but I'm holding them to that standard. I don't give a fuck. Like, don't do it. If you're just going to be like, he's black, y'all, then don't do it. Cause I don't want that. You know what I mean? The same way I don't want a Black Panther movie just cause a dude looks like the Black Panther. Like, Mm-hmm. Nah, make it and make him hate white people, make him hate imperialism, and make him an isolationist. That's how you do the movie. Don't just be like, we made it, y'all, Wesley Snipes.
I totally want him to be in one of the Avengers movies so they can have him and Tony so everybody can see that Tony is kind of a racist.
Dude, what? By the way, Jayla, I don't know if you was following me on Twitter when I said this. You know what would be fucking awesome about Captain America? If you found out someone that is a hero in that universe is kind of racist.
Oh, my God.
What if Hawkeye was just like...
He cannot stand to be in the room with Black Panther because he's used to, like, Rhodey, who, yeah, that's his black best friend, but he's completely almost like his boy.
Right.
He might be. He just cleaned up his mess.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a black man stare him down like he's nothing, like he doesn't care what he has to say. He feels no air of superiority when he's in the room with Black Panther, and Tony can't stand it.
And T'Challa's smarter than him.
Exactly.
Like that, like T'Challa, if people read those books, T'Challa be showing up with the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Like niggas be fighting for weeks, and then he show up and be like, yeah, put this shit in a USB drive, and don't come to Wakanda. Bye. like that's his whole shit, man. That's why I like him.
In a Black Panther, like he just comes like, God, you guys are so like backwards. Like he looks at them like they're dancing monkeys. Like,
yes.
Oh, look how cute you guys have been doing this thing, but we fixed this problem like a century ago.
A Avengers movie where they go to Wakanda to try to recruit him. The Wakanda, the technologically superior Wakanda people, flip the fuck out. Kick them out of the country and go, don't ever come back here. And then T'Challa shows up like an hour and a half later with the solution to whatever the Avengers were doing. And then goes, also still don't come to my country. I probably would orgasm in the theater and not leave.
I
would just be in the front row with my eyes rolling the back of my head. Like, oh, how does it feel, white people? Like, oh my God. I would be ignorant as fuck. And I'm saying with this one, you have opportunities like, what does the Black Panther think about a Captain America, a black dude?
Yeah.
Like, what does he think about it? Because he don't really like America in the first place.
Think about it. When they had Steve step in for Black Panther, did they talk about any race issues? No, not really. They didn't really get into that.
Exactly. And that's why I don't fuck with that storyline. So, yeah, everybody touting this is like some major form of progress and it's going to be great. I'm telling you, man, if these niggas don't talk about it, I'm gonna be like, fuck this book. I'm already saying it. Don't just throw some black on the cover and just, what if Batman was black? That's not good enough. Let's give him some black problems. Let's talk about that. Oh, what if Hawkeye was racist? Oh.
Oh my God.
You'll never be my Captain America. What?
Oh,
point that arrow at him and shit.
He does kind of look like he could be a little racist.
He does.
Airing his shit, dog.
His name Clint. Come on, dog. He got that racist feel, man. Come on, Marvel. You can do this.
Oh. Sound like you got hope.
Man, I would love for him to do it. I don't think they will. Like I said, I'm cynical. But God, if they did, I'll buy this shit forever, dog. I'll frame it. I'll get it on my wall if they... Oh. Anyway. And Thor's going to be a woman and nobody cares. Because it's a white woman. Don't nobody care about this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think
this all white women in comics.
Like Thor is going to be a woman. There's the next worthy handler of the hammer is a woman.
Yeah.
But Thor, the character, is still going to be
a white man
using his axe.
Yeah.
I think most of this comic probably won't even focus on her. It's going to be about him earning his hammer back.
Yep. And you said he's still going to have the axe too.
Yeah, he's using the axe. So he's going to be in the comic. So it's going to, she's Thor, but she still has to deal with the guy, like Thor.
The axe better than the hammer anyway. Because the axe can kill gods and shit. Like, he killed a god with that axe before. So, I mean, the hammer can't do that.
Like, not like he's not in the book anymore. He's right there.
Yeah, whatever. I think
you hear more about, you know, Falcon being Captain America than... a woman being the next Thor, because it's not like it's really going to be her book. It's not like...
Yeah. If I was a white woman, I'd feel so patronized for this announcement.
Right.
Going on The View for this. The only way they could have fucked up that Captain America announcement if it would have been on BET or, like, Arsenio, then I would have been like, oh, fuck them for real. But at least they went on Colbert, who does have that Captain America shield and
yes,
a young demographic. I get it, but ain't no women about to read this new Thor book because a white woman on it.
Right. Why did you waste your time going on to view a demographic of older white ladies who kids is at school? You think they give a fuck about this?
Yeah. Like it's going to be 50 Shades of Grey, but for comics and shit? No.
But if they did that, that would sell. So,
yeah.
So.
Them housewives do not care about no damn Thor. But, you know, if you would have made 50 Shades of Thor, they might have sold some books, dog.
Right.
I'm pretty sure there's a fan fiction of that already.
And now I'm just sad.
Pick up my hammer. I can't. It's too heavy. That's right.
I'll show you how to use it, girl.
All right, man. This has been another episode of Nerd Off. Went a little bit long, but it's been a couple weeks since we did this. I have to thank my man Sterling from Gaming and Then Some podcast.
No problem, man. I love being on.
Hey, man, I appreciate you coming through. Yes. On Twitter, he's at The Wound God. Najayla is at Blazing Bitch with a Y on Twitter. You also said you want to promote some stuff, or you still want to do that?
After Dark is coming back this week, hopefully, and we nerd hard, and we're going to be updating the site for We Nerd Hard and talking about all the good stuff. And I'm still doing my own thing. So if you follow me on Twitter and you would like to, have a nice chat with me on my more adult lines, that can also happen.
She also, introduced me to stripper cosplay this today. And I'll never be able to repay her.
Yeah. Wait, what happened?
Hey.
Check my Twitter. Check my Twitter. Okay.
All right.
I tweeted the YouTube video. My life will never be the same.
Yep.
So,
I thought I was going to watch this, play this Destiny beta. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. Yeah. I am going to add Twitter. And
I told you earlier, nothing has ever.
You're a Mortal Kombat fan, especially if you're a Melina fan. You'll like
Banks
and her stripper cosplay.
Nothing has ever not been improved by the insertion of ninjas. And that lady had on a ninja mask and everything. So.
We
do have questions in the chat. Let's see. Is there a release date for the Black Captain America reboot? I think it's this fall.
It's supposed to come out in September, I believe.
So be on the lookout for that Coffee Light Sweet. Let's see. Have y'all seen the Guillermo del Toro is making a Dark Avengers movie with Constantine and Sandman? Nah. Is that true or is that just...
I haven't heard it.
Yeah. Is that a rumor or is that confirmed? Because... I mean, I'm in for anything Del Toro does, but I had not heard that. And if so, that might be just what the DC universe needs in the movie form, is a little darkness involving actual dark characters.
Sandman wasn't that optioned for a television series, so I don't think they have the movie rights to that.
Isn't Constantine a TV series, though, too?
Yeah, Constantine's also...
Yeah, I have no idea. Don't give me the line. I mean, technically, Gotham is a TV show and they're going to have Batman in this joint. So who knows if any of that crosses over? I don't know the law. Also, what are your favorite animes of all time? Mine is Yu Hakusho because it got super weird towards the end, and S. Cryed because it was dope. Man, for me personally.
Favorite anime? That's a tough one.
Samurai Champloo.
Mm-hmm.
Is up there.
That's one of my
Cowboy Bebop.
Trigun.
Oh, as far as like a series,
series, Cam.
Okay.
Revolutionary Girl Utena.
I haven't heard of that one.
It's one of the best coming of age shows ever made, and there's sword fighting.
Yeah, for me, it's easily Trigun. Just Trigun.
Wait, what did you say again, Ninjala?
Revolutionary Girl Utena.
Okay. All right, gotta look it up.
Yeah, I never heard of that one.
What'd you say, Sterling?
Trigun.
Yeah, I like Trigun, but I just thought it was so funny that the last couple episodes when it got super serious, I was not ready.
When dude put the burner to homegirl's head and said, "You gotta kill somebody out of nowhere?"
Dog, what? I was like, this shit, we just was joking, dog. We was just on jokes. What happened?
He had to kill Wolfwood and shit. We was all playing. What happened?
Tell me that's what happened. So I was like, where's Wolfwood? He's like, yeah. Just keep watching.
Yeah, just keep watching. You'll see. But yeah, also cannot skip over my man Death Note, dog.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones of all times. Like, mm-hmm. out of everything that, like, as far as, like, a series.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one. As far as, like, my favorite, like, anime, like, movie. What's that one we watched years ago with the wolves and the talking wolves?
You talking about Princess Mononoke?
Yes. Princess Mononoke. Yeah.
That right there is, to
me. One of my favorite anime movies is Jinro. Mm. Actually, Millennium Actress would be my favorite anime movie. Work of Satoshi Kon. I think he's amazing and brilliant, but Millennium Actress, I was like a gooey bot, like blob of emotions just blubbering all over myself. So that's one of my favorite movies. Like,
yeah, I tried to watch that, but I was bored to tears.
I got two other ones I just thought of. One's new, but I really like Space Dandy. That's on
Space Dandy. Oh yeah, I love Space Dandy.
Yeah, I love the fact that it's just episodic. Like, there's nothing really carries over. So each story is original. But Outlaw Star. It came on.
I own that on DVD, man. Yes. In my front room right now. That's one of my favorite animes of all time, dude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was my shit. I remember watching that by mistake. They showed it on Toonami, like back in the day when Toonami was like at like between 3 and 6 p.m.
Yep.
They put it on at 5:30 once, and I was like, "What the fuck?"
That's how I got into it. And then the thing was, they stopped it before it. They canceled it before the season ended.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went to eBay and bought the collection.
Shit.
And it's so fucking good. Code Geass got mentioned by Hiploida. Yeah. I love Code Geass. It reminds me of Death Note. Like, how dude was plotting and see, and it's all about a dude that like wants to like get the throne and get power, and then it's like the way that he plots, and then he has a special power that allows him to like do some shit, man. It's pretty cool, man. That's a good one. There was a
Dragon Half. It is like a direct video release. I mean, I don't think it ever aired. It only has 2 episodes, but it's hilarious.
What's the other one? Oh, Eureka? Y'all ever seen that one?
7?
Yeah. Well, she's like the navigation system, but it's a person. It's out of like, she has blue hair. There's like a kid. There's a bunch of mechs and shit.
Yes. Yeah. I can't remember the name of it. I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah,
they
Eureka
like
7.
Aruka said, well, they can plug up with the machines.
Yeah.
Yes. That one was an excellent series.
So, yeah, man. I mean, there's so many, dog. Honestly, asking me to pick a favorite.
An anime that's going to make you giggle, Grave of the Fireflies. Look it up, kids.
No. I know exactly what you're doing, and audience, don't do that, okay? It's not going to make you giggle at all.
I've never seen it.
Grave of Fireflies is the one, if I'm correct, it's the one about the nuclear fallout, and, right?
Yeah.
If you giggle at that, you are fucked up. Like, you need to get, like, checked out. Like,
Children of God. It's like one of those movies you watch once and you don't really.
Yeah.
Like, if you get to watch it twice in your life, you're just a really strong human being.
Yeah, it's so powerful that you can't watch it more than once. It's the 12 Years a Slave of, like, nuclear war. No way.
No way.
We talked about the female Thor. We saved it for last. So I think Coffee Light and Sweet was waiting on that. Let's see. Oh, and finally, Ashley Clark said, I bet any amount of money that Guardians of the Galaxy has a bigger impact on the Marvel Cinematic Universe than people think. Sorry for all the posts. I agree. I mean, I think them niggas going to be in Avengers.
Going to set up the next 3 phases of movies.
Yeah.
They have 7 of those things. Mm-hmm.
I think they're answering some, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. questions in it with Colson.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. For real?
I mean, yeah. I think it's going to matter because you have to introduce Thanos to this universe in a way where it makes sense that he's a huge threat. And I think just the end of the last Avengers didn't do that.
No.
You know, but once you introduce the Collector and, you know, these other spacey concepts, I think all of a sudden you do have a reason that, oh, I want to see Avengers in space fight Thanos, you know?
Also, just in case anybody cares, they just announced they're doing a Skull Island movie, so we're going to get another King Kong movie.
Another one?
Yeah, just Skull Island. So it's going to be the, like, origin story. Yeah.
Know you know what? That. King Kong is, for me...
Another 3 hours of discomfort.
Yeah, King Kong is a little overrated to me.
Right.
And as a franchise, like, I've never really felt like that about King Kong. And then the allegory for racism is just too strong. Like, it's one of those ones I can't even, like, ignore it or pretend that it's not about niggas better keep their hands off these white women. It's crazy.
That's why I kind of want to, like, if this is what they're saying is, what is, like, Skull Island, it won't be any humans, I guess. It'd just be, like, you know, what Godzilla was, even though we didn't want it to be that.
Yeah, I got to see, like, a trailer.
Fucking with a bunch of other monsters.
Got to see a trailer. Got to see who's in it. Got to see who's directed by. They fuck around and...
Andy Serkis got to play King Kong.
Yeah, dog. If they Godzilla us, I'm going to be like, fuck y'all.
I enjoyed Godzilla.
Of course you did, because you hate and the course, things you know, I
they,
love.
They just announced Godzilla 2 today.
Oh, well, you knew that was going to happen.
Yay. Supposedly it's supposed to have Rodan in it. That's a rumor, but if they have, like, a Mothra and they have the Mothra twins... I will violently orgasm in the theater.
I will too. Why didn't they have it in the first one is the question now.
Because it mirrored, it's a remake of the 1956 Godzilla film.
And
it's
I know how much we all love the 1956 Godzilla fan. Pardon me for even bringing that up. I apologize. I'm so sorry.
That was before I was born.
Yeah, well, you know how it is.
They're good films.
Classic lives on forever.
Gojira, that shit was 80 minutes long, and he showed up in the first 20 minutes. That's not what happened.
Yeah, that's not what happened. This was not close.
Yeah, it's going to have Mothra, Gojira, and Rodan in it.
Although, I am really excited about the idea that Najayla liked the first Godzilla, because it really puts everything into perspective about how she hated all that shit I liked earlier. So, guys, if you big fans of Godzilla, then you side with Najayla. I get it. I will never see eye to eye, but if you're fun-loving people like me.
Lord.
You're good, solid American citizens.
We still love you, though.
Obviously, I love him, Najayla. I tease. All right, man.
I get a little too emotional. I have to stop flying into rages every time somebody mentions Arrow. I think my neighbors think I'm crazy, because whenever I watch Arrow, I'm, like, screaming at the top of my lungs at the characters. And they're going to eventually call the cops. Like, she's threatening this woman named Laurel.
Oh, and my man Ashley Three Classic put in the chat, it is real. Comic-Con exclusive. Guillermo del Toro.
Nice.
Is Dark Universe will be separate from other DC projects for now.
Oh.
That's dope, man.
Okay. I'm excited for something then. Yay.
Yeah. I mean, that would actually make sense if that got dark. So, all right, man. We are out of here. We appreciate all you guys. We'll talk to you later. And for regular people, we'll see you guys tomorrow. I'm surprised that Najayla didn't go into a rage. All right, man. Talk to y'all tomorrow. Peace.
Peace.